Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rise to our quite something able. We're off the bad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Pamela.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
I'm sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. Is there ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
He, King Shaziz the Terrible. All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
A little boy, I swore that I would change the world when I grew up. Nothing else would be enough. I see it every day. We set off for a save. The news I sailed along the way. Good if you don't dream it, what do you to dream? Three.
is the dream. The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We're the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great
one. If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear.
There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. The time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Hello everybody, this show is always so dynamic because it could actually change at the drop of a hat because of different things. Something amazing happened when I started this show. It's actually a couple deals that was played on there that I didn't select, but I'm glad they did because it's relevant to what I have to share. Anyway, I was initially going to play a podcast, which I did put the link to the video in over at the Super Chat. By the way, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. Also, while you're over there at the superchat.html, if you scroll down underneath all the chat rooms, you'll see a People for People radio link. Click on that, go over and tell those nice folks we said hi. Also, check out Wolf Spirit Radio as well. So with that said, let's get into this deal right here. I was initially going to play this podcast, like I was about to say, but I feel like I had some sort of divine inspiration or some message that just run through my mind here a little while ago. So I'm going to try to shorten this up for the benefit of the show. And Barbara's joined us. Say hi, Barbara.
Hey, everybody. It's always good to be here. Thank you for joining us.
And she might have to leave a little bit early today, but I think we can get what we need said. And maybe by that time, somebody else will show up and we'll just keep it rolling like we always do. It's just amazing how this show works out, isn't it? So, reality is a dream. Let me tell you why. Before I tell you why, I'm going to go ahead and play probably the last close to 10 minutes of this podcast. It's the very last part that I want you to hear. Something that's said at the very end of this podcast. Now, let me kind of briefly sum this podcast up. It's talking about the deep state, and it's talking about Q, and it's talking about why we have to, get things in place before, a certain event occurs, and, indictments and all that kind of stuff goes down. And so, with that said, that's pretty much the gist of that particular podcast. But one of the things that really hit me like a ton of bricks was what was said at the very end of this. And I hope you all catch this. So I'm going to go ahead and play this deal right from about here.
Now, James Jeffrey, U.S. Special Representative for Syria Engagement, is out there saying that the Syrian government is directly responsible for creating the Islamic State. Now, first of all, this is absolutely ridiculous. But here's the explanation. The Syrian regime produced the Islamic State, the diplomat said. He was speaking at a press conference. The elements of the Islamic State in the hundreds probably saw an opportunity in the total breakdown of civil society and of the upsurge of violence as the population rose up against the Assad regime. Well, first of all, the people didn't rise up against Assad. This was a planned overthrow of a government by the intelligence community, by the deep state. Let me continue. And the Assad regime, rather than try to negotiate or try to find any kind of solution, unleashed massive violence against its own population. Gee, that's why everyone's coming back to the country. This is why everyone voted for Assad, because he tortures them, kills them, and people like it, and that's why they're returning in droves and voting for him. Does that make any sense? And that's why when the towns and villages were liberated, they said, oh my God, we lived under terror every day from the Islamic State, from the rebels, from Al-Qaeda. Let me continue. That created a space for the Islamic State to recruit people, to protect people to some degree. Ironic as it sounds, from the depredations of the Assad regime. And very soon, Islamic State had an army of 35,000 troops and had seen big chunks of both Iraq and Syria. Oh, the lies that we spin. First of all, the Islamic State was created by the intelligence agency. They were funded by the oil convoys, which went up into Turkey. Erdogan and his son sold the oil that they received from the Islamic State. At the time, Obama showed and told and pointed to the targets where the military should bomb, and that was nowhere near the Islamic State. Under the Obama regime, the Islamic State grew and grew and grew. They never could find the oil convoys. It was completely impossible until Russia stepped in, and they said, well, there they are. Plain as day. We're going to hit them, and we're going to get rid of their funding. That's exactly what they did. And then, all of a sudden, Russia was able to go after the Islamic State. They knew exactly where they were, and they started to push them back. Trump came into office and put the Pentagon back into the position where they picked the targets. And when this happened, what did we see happen? The Islamic State shrunk and shrunk and shrunk. And guess what? The Syrian forces were fighting the Islamic State. They were fighting Al-Qaeda. They were fighting all of these terrorist groups that the deep state, the coalition forces, put into place. They're trying to cover up what happened in Syria, because the war is coming to an end. And whenever the war comes to the end, and there's a losing side and a winning side, and the winning side happens to be Russia and Assad, the truth is going to start to come out. They're trying to protect themselves. It's not going to work. The deep state is in trouble. And you can see they're trying to spin these ridiculous things. So what happens next here? Well, it looks like Trump and the Patriots, they're going to let the deep state, what they do best, continue with what they're doing. They're going to be gathering evidence, making sure they have everything, getting ready to push the D-class, push the indictments, show voter fraud, and expose the entire operation using the rule of law. Now, before I forget, don't forget to follow me on Minds. That is Minds.com. It is free to join, and actually, by commenting and posting, you will earn cryptocurrency. Listen, everyone, thanks a lot for listening. Be well, be safe, and especially be prepared. Thanks a lot.
All right, well, I don't know if you caught that right there at the end. By commenting and participating, you will earn cryptocurrency. K keep an eye and an ear out for that, people.
Yeah.
Quite literally, that's a red flag. We just got some information about how we got pretty much supposed patriot saviors in the background, you know, going to get some things accomplished and, you know, basically come in and save the day. So I'm right now I'm saying, yeah, just keep your eye on the game right about now, because reality really quite literally is a dream at this stage in the game. Because if you look around at everything that's going on, including all the voter fraud, the border crises and such, if you actually go pay attention and really spend some time to look around and check out what's going on, you'll notice that it's not just the United States that has a border crisis in play. You know, Mexico has a border crisis in play. Canada has a border crisis in play. Europe has a border crisis in play. I think the only ones at this stage in the game that don't seem to have a border crisis in state is Russia. And that's probably because Russia's probably not really a great place to live right about now, but also Russia wouldn't tolerate a rush on the border. That's, you know, they're pretty strong in their own ways. So if you had listened to what he was talking about, what was going on over there in the Middle East, about how, you know, under Obama's regime that they pretty much, he picked the targets, but none of them were the targets that was going to take the money out of the pockets of the supposed terrorist or whatever, and instead the Islamic State grew and such or whatever, and then in comes Russia, that then in turn says, oh, look, there they are, and, you know, whacks them and basically hits them hard in the wallet and that kind of thing. So anyway, what you've been seeing going on in this world is quite literally madness as far as I'm concerned. You got a total lack of trust of the mainstream media for obvious reasons. You got a total lack of trust for government for obvious reasons. And you even got a lack of trust for one another because of the red and blue paradigm that we find ourselves in. You know, it's the Democrats versus the Republicans. For the most part, all this information out there, like right now on the conservative side, you got this Q thing going on out there that's pretty much giving the doggone conservatives some hope that we're going to be able to fight crime and straighten things out and bring some balance and justice and common sense back to the world. Yet on the other side of the fence, on the liberal or Democrat side of the fence, you've got basically the same kind of deal of hope as well. Hope that we're going to be able to get this racist guy out of office, and we're going to be able to have social justice, and everybody's going to be able to live happily ever after and be who they are, you know, dress the way they want and just do whatever they want, and we're going to get gun control and all this kind of stuff. So on their side of the fence, they got a savior, and on our side of the fence, we got a savior, and so on and so forth. Well, folks, the fact of the matter is there ain't going to be no savior to that extent. The only savior is you, each and every one of you, to actually wake up and realize that you're being played like a banjo, quite literally. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news to that extent, but I don't want you to get disconcerted or anything like that, because what you actually have is the true power. But first off, you gotta rub those sleepless eyes and open those ears and step out of that box and step back and look at the big picture and really pay attention to what's going on. That when I was in the military, they used to call it attention to detail. If you don't pay attention to detail, you might watch this hand over here and get slapped with that fist over there. So you gotta be aware of what's going on at all times. Unfortunately, it's a really stressful thing, and stress seems to kill dreams these days. You know, people are all frustrated and they don't understand, you know, why the world is the way that it is. In the beginning of this podcast, you heard something called The Dream that I wrote, and that my friend Ken, with a wonderful voice, he read out for me so that I could deliver a message of what I feel like that the world should be like. And in that dream, it talked about how in today's day and age, there shouldn't be any starving babies. You know, we got amazing earth that we live in, an amazing world that we live in. It's a self-contained biosphere, it's an overabundance of everything we need, and yet we've got wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence and all the craziness going on. And so people are basically quite literally picking sides against one another. And it's, you know, it's, everyone is pretty much lost in their own little bubble of what they believe that is actually going on because of the information that they've been propagandized to believe in. It's not just that. It's the education system itself, the way that they teach people these days in school, the things that they teach people, the things that they teach our children in school. It's beyond ridiculousness. It's actually to the point of actual, you know, danger as far as I'm concerned. It's mental abuse. What's going on out there isn't by the people, of the people, for the people. It's for a certain group of people out there who are pretty well, I would say that they have the luxuries of just about everything. They have the power through the money. They have the power through the media. They have the power through the government and the corporations. They can pretty much manipulate your minds and hearts and tug on your heartstrings and get you to do and say things that you probably otherwise wouldn't do against your brothers and sisters. So, you know, when I say that reality is a dream, it's the reality that you and I seek. It's the truth that you and I seek that is actually the dream at this point in the game. And the only one that can make that dream a reality is us. It's quite literally us. And I say all the time that your words are more powerful than you can possibly imagine. If you thinking about what I was saying and you listen to other people's words, other people's words can frustrate you. They can make you angry. They can make you sad. They can tear at your heartstrings, or, you know, get that darkness down inside you to come to the surface and do something that you otherwise wouldn't even have thought about doing. Under, you know, the guise of self-protection and self-preservation, you would be surprised at what people would do to one another in certain circumstances. Well, these folks up there at the top, they know that, and they have known that for millenniums, years, hundreds of decades, or whatever. You know, well, I don't even know the full true history of the length of time that we've actually been in this this world that we live in. What I do know is that we're basically being imprisoned in our own minds. We're being imprisoned in our own homes. We're being imprisoned in our own countries. You've got people trying to escape their country to come to another country. Some of good intentions, but others of not so good intentions. And you've got people behind the scenes that are actually funding things like this caravan that's going on down there. They're basically trying to overwhelm the system that we actually live in, because the only way that you can, break a system down and maintain control is if you use the problem-reaction-solution deal, where essentially you bring about order out of chaos. So Canada has a problem with, border over. You know, people just coming across the border anytime they want. America, over there in the UK and all over Europe, you know, places over there, they've got refugees. And, of course, everybody with a good heart says, yeah, we've got to take care of these people. They're in war-torn countries and they need the safety and they need food and clothing and shelter. So that tells you right there that the majority of all the people from all nations are good-hearted souls. And they want to do the right thing. And so when somebody says, oh, well, we got to have border control, you know, we got to lock down our border, we got to put our military on the border, well, that tells that person with the good heart, well, no, these folks, they must be racist, because, you know, they don't want these brown people to come here, whatever. It's not the truth, folks. It's not reality. It's not what's really occurring here. You know, America is a melting pot. We've got people from all different nations and all different backgrounds, all different, the history of America is really, it's a rabbit hole. All right, but now that we are here and now, we are quite literally a melting pot for people that had immigrated from all over the world. Good people, you know? Not saying that there weren't some bad folks that came in here because they really didn't like the way that we do things. And so, essentially, we got to figure out what can we do about this whole deal. You know, right now it's so massive. It's like, you got thousands of people coming to the border on Mexico, and you got thousands of people probably on the border of every different nation trying to supposedly flee their nation because of political or religious persecution or poverty or things like that. You know, if we really seriously wanted to make this world a better place, we would try to help work with other nations to bring about change in their societies, not by overthrowing governments, by helping them with technologies and teaching them how to do things better and that kind of stuff, you know. Not by going in and trying to overthrow nations or anything like that. Well, these so-called global elitists of the world, they probably got it in their mind that the ends justify the means, and the only way that they can get what they believe to be the perfect society and under their control is to overthrow nations. When you overwhelm a system, you're going to put two different cultures together that really don't want to be together. And one of them's going to want it their way, one of them's going to want it the way that it was and has been for a long time, and those two cultures are obviously going to clash. Anyone with common sense could realize that. You know, you're not going to be able to mix a whole bunch of Christians with a whole bunch of Satanists, or a whole bunch of Buddhists with a whole bunch of Muslims, or vice versa, or any combination of all of them. You're not going to be able to do that because of their belief system. Now, Buddhists, they're kind of really peaceful people. Well, if there was some sort of thing that says, well, we got to start chopping off people's heads because they don't believe the way that we do, I don't think the Buddhists are going to comply with that. And in every single nation, in every single culture, in every single spiritual background and walk of life and such, you know, there's differences. We all have differences. But in the heart of everything, deep down in the heart itself, we are all the same. And people will say that. Even the social justice warriors will say, we all bleed the same color. You know, we're all the same. But at the same time, we'll sit there and try to force their ideologically, I can't even pronounce it, their belief system or whatever, their political views on somebody and tell them, you must comply. You can't do that, folks. You can't tell somebody they must comply. Each one of us own our own personal lives. Each one of us are on our own personal spiritual journey. And I believe that at some point, when we all realize that we do have our differences, that each and every one of us is an individual, and that we're not going to be able to get people to comply to everything that we want, and it's not all about us in the world, and the universe doesn't revolve around us, as individuals, but as a collective, and a collective to the extent of we are voluntarily coming together, not under force or threat or some sort of promise of safety and freedom. No, we have to come together like every time there's a storm, or every time there's a tragedy, every time there's a natural disaster, or somebody has the misfortune of their house burning down, and neighbors and communities, they come together and they help one another, and they do this out of the love of their heart because of their fellow man or woman. This is what I'm talking about, folks. This is the dream. But the individuals that are in power right now, the individuals that we basically allow to be our leadership under the guise of keeping order, they're not doing their job. Their track record stinks. We're still going to war with people that we don't want to go to war with. Why would I want to send my children over to kill your children? Ask me personally, do I agree with this war? And I'm going to tell you my honest truth. No, I don't. War should be a very last resort. It should be like what Barbara's explained many times about the clan mother system, where they all sit down and they think about it. If it takes days or weeks or months, they're going to sit there and they're going to sort it out until they have no other option but to go to defend themselves. That's what should have been, but that's not what is. We're seeing wars over resources. We're seeing wars and disputes over borders. In a perfect world, I would love to see that we didn't have any borders, that we could all just go and visit with each other anytime we want. But so far, humanity hasn't reached that ultimate stage of enlightenment to bring us to the point where we can lay down our arms and open our borders and our arms open wide, where we can give our neighbors from other nations hugs and say, yeah, we love you and everything's all great and wonderful. No, we're fighting against an evil that has been manipulating society for so long that, you know, those that are waking up and, you know, coming to the reality that things aren't the way that we've been told, and things are even to the extent of our reality or the world that we live in isn't what we were taught in school or wasn't what we thought. I know deep down inside of you, everyone who is in earshot of this message that I'm trying to push out there to you today is got a really good heart. There's a heart of gold sitting down inside there that would do the best that you could for whoever with whatever you had to work with. I know that. I feel that with every ounce of my being, that there is a good person in every single soul, every single body out there. But there's some out there who are so seduced by the dark side that they would do whatever it took to make sure that they had whatever they wanted, the selfishness, the lack of concern for their brothers or sisters, lying and stealing and cheating and murdering and robbing and raping and looting and pillaging, all the terrible deeds that evil has to offer. Now, I believe that all the people out there, the good people of the world, I believe that they want better for their children. I believe that they want better for your children. And hopefully that is the message that we're trying to deliver out here today. But we have to come through this with wisdom, folks. You know, I said reality is a dream. I said, let me tell you why. And I said we're being played like a banjo. I said we got a border crisis in every nation. And we got order out of chaos. We got voter fraud, lack of trust, stress that kills dreams. Everyone in this world in their own bubble lost in their own reality, their own thoughts. And now we need to figure out what to do and what is the truth. So with that said, Barbara, you got any thoughts on all that?
Oh, everybody, so good to be here always. And, this little dove just came here by my window. What do you think about that?
I think that's a sign.
A really little, beautiful little dove. well, there's so much here. Really, there's so much. And again, you know, every day in my experience, I'm discovering the numerous, the unbelievable tentacles of life, and realizing, you know how we've always said everything is connected, we're all related, and, you know, Metakuyo Yasen means we are all related, but not only we as humans, black, red, yellow, white, brown, but the whole of everything, all of creation is related energetically and frequency-wise, and so what I'm seeing, though, are these tentacles, how they are all related to every aspect of our life, you know. The tentacles meaning, I mean by that, the tentacles of you what you find when you go down the rabbit hole doing research, you know, one thing catches your attention and you say, well, let me just check that out. You go research it and it takes you down deeper and find another little tunnel, and that's a tentacle. You go down that one, you find something else, there's another tunnel, that's another tentacle. I mean, it's a monster. It goes back so far, and in every aspect of our life, there is this controlling factor. You know, like we say, problem, reaction, solution, right?
Yep.
Well, you know, they, or the others, okay, who don't have our best interest at heart, have from the beginning, throughout our history, from the very beginning, I'm going to say, have created the problem. And they watch the reaction, and then they give us the solution.
Now, and they take good notes, too.
They take very good notes, and this is psychological warfare. It's business here, business to them. And this is what we're up against. So I'm saying right from the very beginning, and I'm finding out more and more the depth of this these tentacles of control, mind control, control of our behavior, our actions, reactions, and giving us the solution according to what they want us to, you know, believe is a solution, because that's the plan. And they're using, basically, they are giving us their perception of what reality is, you see.
Yep.
And people are stepping in line and following, because you know why? Basically because people will follow, they will comply because of fear.
Yeah.
And the fear, basically the fear that we experience is part of the problem they have given us.
And they will willfully accept the reality that is given to them because they believe that's the truth.
So when you have a population that has been fed fear and it's working, okay, that's the reaction. The problem they give us is to manifest fear in the population. When they see the reaction where people are overwhelmed with fear, they give us the solution. So people will follow, they will comply to this solution because they believe, okay, they have to... I guess you'd say the fear is so huge inside of them, they will believe a promise, right?
Yep.
They will believe a person or persons who stand up in front of them, anybody, I don't care who it is. No, this is where I'm going with this today. There is nobody, no one, I don't care who they are, a human, that can give us the ultimate solution. You see, but this is what's happening today. We have factions going on here where people are promising us or saying basically creating a problem according to those people are the problem. I have the solution for you. And that's on both sides. We could say this political thing. Both are the same. The deep state, the hidden government has always been present. They have created a big problem for us. They are watching our reaction and now they're going to give us the solution. And I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about, as we see in this present time, I'm going to include Q. I'm going to include those that follow Q. I'm going to include, of course, Trump. I'm going to include Serial Brain 2. I'm going to include even the Praying Medic. I mean, these are people I'm naming who are aligned with Q, who are pushing the solution. Okay, that we are all dealing with, and people are lining up believing them. Now, you know that I have followed and been paying attention and researching Q, as Patty and I have, for over a year.
Yep.
And you know that we were sitting on the fence, and I still remain on the fence, and I know if Patty were here, she'd say the same. Remaining on the fence, observing both sides. Meaning, we are observing all the players here. That means Trump. That means Q. That needs the Dems, that means this, and so on and so forth. We're looking at it, plus everybody in the whole world here. We're observers, we're researchers. I'm not siding with anyone, trust me. I am looking at all pieces here to find the truth. And I'm telling you, I'm pulling out truths that are pretty disturbing and mind-blowing. And every time, every week, every time I come on here, I've uncovered something even deeper and something eye-opening and something that will blow your mind. And this is what we're talking about, okay? What is reality? You know, they're telling us what reality is. You have to find your own truth on that piece. So all we have are predetermined. Everything in our lives has been predetermined. Could you believe that? Do you think you are your own person? Do you think that that others are their own persons? You know, you have to rethink that because everything in our system from the beginning all through back our generations, as soon as those people landed here on Turtle Island, by the way, and we're heading for Thanksgiving here, and we have to say, you know, okay, so that was a talk about borders, talk about immigrants. Okay, that's a whole thing there. What would have happened if the Indians didn't welcome the pilgrims here and save their lives during a harsh winter and so on and brought food for them, which they did, because we are a loving people. You know, we have a loving people in our heart, and you see people struggling with families and children and old people and so on, you help them. Okay, well, so we know what happened there on Thanksgiving. Well, after Thanksgiving, soon after Thanksgiving, okay, we had one of the most violent massacres of the Indian people who helped those pilgrims, okay, during that period of time. So we talk about Thanksgiving as we all sit down together, peace and love for everybody, and we open up our hearts and doors to all people. But, you know, all this has been predetermined. Trust me, everything I am finding out in our experiences, in our lives, in our history has been predetermined, right down to presidents. Predetermined presidents. I'm talking because I found these links that prove this. So I'm coming to this conclusion here because ultimately, and I've said this over and over and over again, nobody is coming to save us, folks. Nobody. Nobody, nobody, nobody. There's no human person that has that capacity, I'm sorry, to save us. They can lead us one way or the other, and it's up to us to determine, okay, is this of, let's say, you know, when something comes at you and it's from a source that is different or strange or whatever, out of context, you say, you should say, okay, are you from the light? Are you from the divine one, the only divine one, the creator of all the sacred, of the omniscience, okay, of sacrosanct, everything? Now, I'm changing my language when I pray. I'm saying to Creator, Great Spirit, Wankantanka, to protect your sacred creation. Because I'm learning this piece that, you know what? Creator, Great Spirit, in the wisdom that she had, slash he, okay, created everything, dark, light, positive, negative, yin, yang, right? So that means, well, that means that creator, that omniscient one, knew the troubles and the problems and the issues and the temptations and all the stuff that we as human people were going to experience. That's why I call this a big school. We all came here into this big school. And Creator Wankantanka knew we were going to be challenged, knew that we were going to be tempted, knew that we were going to be met with two roads. One road to the light, the other road to the dark. Free will we were given to choose these things. So I'm looking at all this, putting this big puzzle together, excuse me, and it's getting more and more light in these dark tunnels, and I'll tell you, again, the conclusion I have to come to is that nobody's going to save us. I don't care whether it's Q, whether it's Trump, whether it's the Patriots, whether it's Putin, whether it's this one, that one. It does not matter. Somebody standing up there saying, I have the answer. Guess what? It's their answer. It's not the answer that I must seek out with my Creator, my Great Spirit. That's the only person. That's the only way we should be paying attention to where we're going to be going, what we're going to be using our free will for. Okay, no human being has the capacity to save us. I am sorry. Because guess what? They are just like we are. They could be challenged and tempted and led down the greedy road or led down a plan that will serve only a few, though they're few. This is the way, what we're dealing with here. So we have to look at all this stuff. Don't put your trust in anyone, only Great Spirit, Creator, I'm going to say. Now, this is important because there is a whole faction, a whole wave going on here that we have talked about over a year now with QAnon. QAnon steps in, okay, when Trump comes in. Yeah, we were looking at that. Now, Patty and I studied, researched, questioned, studied, research, and so on, put things together over and over and over again to show that, yes, this person Q or persons Q is real, and they are giving clues for you to find out your own answers. Now, that's one thing about Q. Q did not lay out all the answers and lead people down that trail. No, Q said, here, research this. Here, research that. Well, what do you think about this? Here, research that. And that's what we did. Now, Q is always saying, think for yourself, question everything. And that's what we all should do. But when you question, and this is what I found out recently, because I questioned something the other day. Well, let me see, it was last week. I probably talked about it. I saw a post put out by Q that said, you know, blah, 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 and then ultimately said, we will show you a brave new world.
Oh, wow.
So, I said, oh, wow, myself. I said, wait a second. That word, those words, brave new world, caught my attention because, you know, that meant something to me. And to me, that was a key. Q gives you keys and clues.
Just like now, that last bit of what I pointed out in that podcast. Well, you know, if you go participate and comment, you get some cryptocurrency. And a brave new world, cryptocurrency, is that like...
Well, I'm going to talk about that because it's interesting how you and I, how the synchronicities are awesome.
Yep.
I'm going to talk about that in a minute, about that, because I also, this came through to me just the other day about this cryptocurrency, and it has to do with... It has to do with a possible mark of the beast. Okay, it's biblical prophecy, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, but I'll read something about that in a minute, but I want to continue here about Q. Okay, so because I'm a researcher and everything, and I went, wow, Brave New World, that sounds very familiar, and I'm not sure about that, so let me check it out. So I went down that rabbit hole. Well, guess what? There is such a term, the only term, called Brave New World was by Aldous Huxley, and in the last century or so, wrote a book called The Brave New World. And I'll tell you, this world is not a world that you want to go to. But what it does is it basically is almost, if not exactly identical to Agenda 21, Agenda 2030.
George Orwell's 1984.
Yeah, but the only, I'm talking about these words.
Yep.
Brave New World. Okay, Brave New World. Who else mentioned the New World Order?
Yeah,
Bush. The elder President Bush, didn't he?
Yep.
Over and over and over again, he talked about the One World Order, the New World Order, blah, blah, blah. He talked about that.
He also said if you're either with us or against us.
Well, that was the young Bush.
Yeah.
But they're all the same.
Yeah, well.
That was W. Bush, George W. Bush.
Okay, yeah, that was his son, that's right.
But anyway, what I'm saying is here, because that Brave New World, when Q's statement said, we will show you a brave new world, now that's future tense, would you say?
Yeah.
That's future tense. Now, I got on to Serial Brain 2, which I believe for a long time now, and Patty agrees with me, that Serial Brain 2 is part of Q's team. Okay? That is a given. I can guarantee that that's so. And he has, or she has, his own Twitter, Facebook, blah, blah, blah. Own page. Basically, what Serial Brain 2 does is give you the decoding of Q's posts, okay? And remember, Q writes posts that he asks you, do your research and decode this. So Serial Brain 2 does that and reads out all this stuff about what Q said, what Q meant, and look at these numbers and go to Gematria and use this number and that, blah, 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 that key. Well, it's all a rabbit hole that people are going down and diving deep into, the Anons, they're called, or other people now, all over the world. And they're coming up with these answers, and so it all looks good. I have to say, it all looks good. Doesn't it all look good? So, I went on Serial Brain's link, and I signed up so that I could post something. I got in, and I asked Serial Brain, I said, my concern is Q's recent post about showing us a brave new world, and then I identified Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, that this is not a place where we would want to go, Agenda 20, I did the whole thing. Do you know that I was censored?
Oh,
do you know? that I was sensing that all kinds of people post questions and answers and thank you, oh my God, you're so wonderful, thank you for that insight, thank you for that, blah, 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 blah. Oh, where we go one, we go all.
Sounds,
that's another thing.
Sounds
that's
to me like you hit a sensitive spot.
You think?
Yeah.
It gets worse. It gets more interesting. So the term where we go one, we go all happened to be on President Kennedy's bell. It was carved on President Kennedy's bell upon his yacht. Where we go one, we go all. So this is deep stuff. When you say, wow, we all love President Kennedy, right? I mean that was like a devastation throughout the, a repercussion of energy throughout the world when that happened, but it was done deliberately. Okay, we know that. He was assassinated deliberately because he was going to disclose the deep state now, wasn't he?
Yep.
And many other things. Okay, so they're using this where we go one, we go all. Q is. Okay. And all of the supposed good guys. And I question that. So they keep pushing this where we go one, we go all. It's like a broadcasting another brain infiltering into your brain. Where we go one, we go all. But nobody questions that. Nobody says, well, wait, where are we going? What's the plan? Well, the plan is to make America great again. Ah, you know me. I've always said, well, America wasn't really great for many. And we could go down that direction, because it was not. So, yeah, so the Indian people here, the indigenous people here on Turtle Island opened the borders. They didn't have a border wall, but they welcomed the immigrants from another country. Well, I'd say on some level, you could say, is this providence? Is this the divine plan? Is this Creator's plan? Should there have been another idea? You know, what would have happened if they did not welcome those pilgrims? What would have happened? We can ask those questions, but, you know, I feel that things happen the way they're supposed to happen. It doesn't mean that it's a mistake, but it means there's an opportunity to learn. And here we are today looking at a border wall. We're looking at waves of immigrants coming into Europe, changing those countries, shockingly, disrupting things, you know, rape and murder and this and that. And now we have this other issue here with our own borders. We have this divisiveness going on. We have all this spinning chaos going on, which, by the way, is another prophecy. Chaos, I was told, was going to be rising. And I have to point out this. I don't know if you remember, a couple of weeks before Trump was became president, you know, when he was elected president, a couple of weeks before, in the middle of the night, as often happens to me, Spirit woke me up and said to me, Trump will become president. Well, I felt this wave, and I'm going to say, and I spoke about this before, I felt this hit me in my gut, my solar plexus, the center of myself, with terror and horror. And I was like, whoa, I questioned it. What the heck? What does that mean? So now I'm like, I have to look at that. That's a message directly from Great Spirit. And so I began to go deeper into finding out, who is this person? Because I was just vaguely looking at Trump, and I was going, yeah, what the heck? You know, I'm not voting for Trump, and I'm not voting for Hillary Clinton. That's where I was. Okay, I didn't like some things, but then I also liked some things that he was saying about, for instance, about the mainstream media, because you know what? I've known for years the mainstream media is corrupt, and I know that they are owned by a few corporate people who are biased. So, and I knew that. Okay, so when he said the mainstream media that we look at every day, and think about it, all we've had, as soon as TV came in, what did we have? We had some mainstream media news coming into our living rooms. And what did we do? We all sat there and listened and believed what we were being shown and told. And guess what? Did anybody question it? Who are these people? No. We didn't question that. Why should we? We've always been told, don't question authority. And this is a new thing. Wow, we can sit here and know what's going on in the world. But nobody said, wait, who are these people?
Yeah, up until the point when some people started waking up and started noticing inconsistencies, everybody was pretty much, you know, trusting in the media. Am I wrong?
Well, you know, you trust people because, look, I don't know, there's people that we watch and we say, well, look at that person. I like that person. I like the person, the looks of that person. I like their looks. And half the time we don't even listen to what they're saying because we're just sucked into this media which is mind control.
Yep.
So then you start having alternative people popping up here, alternative news, alternative journalists, alternative people saying, wait a second, I can do my own research, and that doesn't feel right to me. I'm going to check on what that newscaster said, and that's what Patty and I do. I don't even watch the mainstream media anymore, but I'm just saying. So you have nations here listening to the boob tube, they call it, which is a derogatory remark, unfortunately, using that term, but we understand. It makes us a bunch of boobies, I guess, like boob, the dumbed down idiots listening to this and believing it and then talking about it and living precariously through that.
Well, I posted a picture in the chat room of a mule following a carrot. I actually posted two. One of them's a guy sitting on there with a board with a nail in it smacking the dude in the booty while he's following the carrot, but if you look at that picture, man, I mean, that's kind of like what society's been doing. They've been following around the carrot. You know, the whole bread and circus thing that we kept mentioning.
Well, that's it. I mean, here we are, and I'm talking about everything is predetermined. You have to keep that in your mind. Everything in our lives have been predetermined from way back, millennia ago, by someone who doesn't have our best interests at heart, or others who don't have our best interests, or humanity's best interests, you know.
Yep.
You see, so this is what we're realizing now, and people are waking up. But here's the group of people that have woken up to Q, okay? And I'm concerned, and Patty and I have been concerned from the get-go. We're sitting on the fence. We're saying, yes, these things are real, true, factual. We did that research. What Q was saying is real. We've looked at documents. We've looked at all kinds of information. Yep, that's real. That's true. That's not a lie. That's fact. And then we're looking at some of the things that Trump has done. Some of the things that Trump has done are really good. It all looks good to the people who are following Q because Trump is taking down the deep state. That's what he said. Well, guess what? He is, and that is. But, okay, that's happening now. And one of the things I speak about, because this is really key, is the one of his executive orders, the first thing he did and when he got in December 2017, was sign an executive order to take down basically pedo sites, child sex trafficking peoples, and so on. And that's happening across the board. You can research that for yourself and find arrests across the board happening in this country and other countries, by the way. This has happened beyond what has ever happened before with any other presidents. So I'm looking at these things. Patty and I are looking at these things that Trump has done, and that's all good. But now we have to look at behind the good stuff. That out front stuff, look behind and do more research, because you know what, we come from a place as researchers and sitting in the center here looking at both sides.
Can I throw a quick point out there before, while it's on my mind, evil will throw evil under the bus without hesitation.
Well, you also have evil will use all manner of persons.
Yep.
You know, that's how it is. And that's what we have to be careful of. We have to be the captain of our own ship. You see? That's what we have to be. Captain of our own ship.
Yep. I agree.
And so we are now, people are giving over the steering wheel of their ship to Q, to Trump, to Pelosi, to the Dems, to the Republicans, to this one, to that one. You see? So everybody stepped away from the controls of their own life, right?
Yep.
Of their own lives. They're giving over due to fear. The fear is the problem that was put in place, predetermined for us. They see the reaction. Now they know they can manipulate us and give us the solution, their solution. You see?
Yep.
They are the ones that are telling us what reality is. Guess what? You have to come to that conclusion yourself. Nobody, no one, no human being can tell you what reality is, okay? That's only between you and your source. No one can tell you where to go, what to do. That is between you and your source. No human being, because guess what? Everyone is vulnerable to corruption. Every one of us. We are tested with that. Every one of us can choose one pathway or the other. So here we are today, and I'm looking at this. Let me continue with my story about Brave New World. So I contact Serial Brain, and I put out a question. I'm very concerned about Q's recent post. It said, and I quoted, "We will show you a Brave New World." And I went on to say, Aldous Huxley, Brave New World, a place we don't want to go. It's basically based on Agenda 21, Agenda 30, and blah, blah, blah. Well, that was censored. Next thing, I'm looking at other posts. Somebody else called Q Addict put up a post similar to mine. They said that they thanked Serial Brain for all his work and blah, blah, blah. But he said, I'm concerned about Q's recent post. We will show you a Brave New World. Blah, blah, blah. So Serial Brain's response to that, and I figured out Serial Brain allowed this person, Q Addict, to put this out, basically to respond in a way that anybody else who questions Q's post is going to not question it, is going to believe Serial Brain, because now Serial Brain's explaining it. And here's how he explained it. Listen to these words. Q said, we will show you a Brave New World. Okay, this other person said, I'm concerned about Q's post, we will show you a Brave New World. Serial Brain responded, oh no, I'm paraphrasing now, but it was basically, oh no, that, a Brave New World, that was what could have happened. Past tense.
Yeah, sounds like somebody got caught with their hand in the cookie jar.
So, I said, wow, I found that very fascinating. So Serial Brain, who was connected to Q, for sure, said to this person, oh no, you got that wrong. What Q really meant was that the Brave New World could have happened. And I'm sorry, that's not what Q said. So now Q has always told us, basically, question everything, do your own research. Which I did. But when you question Serial Brain, who's very connected to Q and deciphers all of Q's posts, Serial Brain basically said to that person, first they censored me, didn't allow my post up, and then he said to that person, that one person, oh no, 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 that Q meant that the Brave New World could have happened, but no, don't worry, we're taking blah, 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 don't worry, blah, 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 don't worry, don't worry, don't trust the plan. Now, that's what thing Q is always saying. Serial Brain's always saying, trust the plan. Where we go one, we go all. And I'm saying, well, you know what? You just lied, outright lied, manipulated that person to believe you. And if that person questioned this, I hope they get what you just did to them. And other people on the chat responded. They called that person a shill. They called that person whatever. Thank you so much for explaining this to us, Serial Brain. So the idiots... The idiots who believe they are questioning everything and have the right to question everything, and that's what Q tells them, the idiots that believe this and believe Serial Brain, bowing down to them, okay, can't even question, or maybe they did, but guess what? I was censored. My post wasn't put up. So I posted to Q Edit, that guy who questioned, or person who questioned. I posted a response to what they said. And I said, I too am concerned about Q's post that stated, we will show you a Brave New World, as future tense. And I said, and Serial Brain told you no, that was past tense. I hope you still continue to do your research. I said, blah, 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 question everything as Q tells us. Guess what? That post was censored too. So I am just continuing basically writing Serial Brain too. I know he's not posting my stuff, but guess what I found out through this experience? They read everything, and they censor anybody who questions Q.
Yep.
That's obvious to me.
That's because if you put all these questions in context and match them up, that still leaves a seed of doubt that something might not be jiving with what Q's saying. So they want to try to...
You, they shut you up right away. They shut you up and make you look like a fool and put fear in you.
Well, and then that, back to that deal, what I said about the doggone cryptocurrency on there. The man sitting there, he's talking about all this crime and corruption, and you're thinking, okay, well, you know, why ain't there been any kind of arrest or anything? We know these people are committing crimes. I mean, they pretty much admitted it on there, but their intent was not to commit a crime. They just made a dumb mistake or something like that. There was a military guy who took a picture of a one-page out of a book so he could take it home and study for a test that he had coming up, and that in itself was enough to get him thrown in prison. He got court-martialed over it. Now, it wasn't his intent to try to do anything bad. It was his intent to try to pass a test for the military. And even though his record was perfect before that, when he took a picture of the deal and took it home with him, that was illegal. So he ended up getting court-martialed and basically kicked out of the military and thrown in prison. These so-called leaders, like Hillary now, they did all kinds of stuff, the multitudes times worse, according to the information that was told to us, that, they should have gone to jail for them. And so everybody's been questioning Q and all them, like, well, when is this going to happen? Why ain't these people in jail? And it's always keep on pushing you on down the road. Well, it's coming, trust the plan, we got to get everything in order. And then at the end of the deal, it's like, if you participate, we're going to give you some cryptocurrency. I'm like, what? How did that
happen? Well, okay, so here's the thing. I can see, and it's explained very clearly, why certain things need to be in place before these top echelons are arrested and whatever. My question is, will they be arrested? They could just disappear, because if we're looking at military tribunals, which is basically based on treason, which these people have done, that's not going to be in your average court where journalists can go in there and take photographs and take, all the copy down about what's being said. These people, in my estimation, at the top echelon, Obama, Clintons, Bushes, all these Cheneys, all these people, they're just going to disappear, my friend. And where are they going to be going? We have no clue.
Yeah, the actual penalty for treason is quite literally, to this very day, death.
Well, they could tell us they did anything to them. What would we do?
Well, what could we do?
I'm telling you, so I'm looking at all these things. I remain in the center here looking at all this stuff. And I had to come to the conclusion, again, this keeps coming back. Okay, and I hate to say it, but you cannot rely or depend or trust another human being that tells you we will take you to the promised land.
Yeah.
Because nobody is going to take us to the promised land. That should be between you and your creator. That should be who you follow. And this is where they have removed us. But here's another part of this. Now, suddenly, really, pretty much in the beginning of this stuff, Q started quoting Bible stuff, okay?
Yeah.
Genesis this and Genesis that, and where we go when we go all. And so when people started to log on to that, and Praying Medic is the same, Serial Brain is the same, they start talking about the religious aspect of all of what is going on, and God is on our side, basically is what they're saying, and Jesus is on our side, basically is what they're saying. I'm suspicious of that. I'm sorry. I really am, because now I feel that people are so hungry and desperate that when you say, well, God's on our side and Jesus is on our side, and look how this Genesis, whatever, blah, 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 speaks to what we're saying, and look at what this clue is, and look at Moses here, and blah, blah, blah.
Well, I can understand that, because Jesus did say that many would come in my name, but the fact that, Trump uses God a lot in the deal, I, as a Christian, that kind of appeals to me, and that's how they do this deal, That's
Trump's not doing it. Q's doing it.
Well, I'm saying, I actually listen to Trump whenever he's talking, and he does mention God a lot,
He does. He started to do that, and I know that Trump is using his mother's Bible. I know his mother was very religious, and I know he really respected and honored his mother, and he does use her Bible. That's in the White House, in the Oval office there. That's something, and every day they pray.
I want to believe that
everybody wants to believe. Yeah. This is the problem.
That's it. That's
problem, reaction, solution. Here's the solution. Now, I'm not saying, okay, so here's, I must sound like a paranoid person.
Well, we all do at this point.
Unfortunately, today, we have to draw upon some of that paranoia and really use it in a good way. We have to question the human beings that standing in front of us, Q, Trump, Putin, whomever it is, Pelosi, the Bushes, the Clinton. We have to use this tool, not in a scary, freaked out way, but a good way.
Yep.
That paranoia, if you want to call it. We could say it's an instinct.
Yeah.
Okay, let's use it as an instinct. Something, my truth meter is going off here wild when QAnon says, we will show you A Brave New World, and Serial Brain pops in, who deciphers Q's post, basically, across the board and says, oh, no, 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 he didn't mean that. He meant it could have happened. Oh, no, 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 don't, no, no. Well, basically what Serial Brain is saying, that QAnon messed up, well, guess what? According to what Q says, there are no mistakes. Period. Yeah. He said that over and over. There are no mistakes. Period. So Q's basically telling us there are no mistakes. So, across the board. Okay?
Yep.
So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, so now why are they using this biblical stuff? Why are they really drawing upon this biblical stuff? Because people are so desperate. They want to be saved. They want Jesus to come. They want God to come and make everything all better. They want Q and they want Trump and they want this one and they want that one. They want Pelosi. They want the Dems. They want anybody else but God or Creator or Great Spirit, whomever they're, that's eliminated. Let's just depend and rely upon these human beings.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, this is where I'm coming from. And I came to the conclusion, okay, there's something fishy going on here, folks.
Yeah,
something stinks.
It's like that doggone series, Jericho, the way that it played out. It was the actual people who did the initial deed, so to speak, the destruction, who were the ones who came into the rescue at the end down there. And so everybody's like thinking, oh, these are the good guys. Let's support the good guys. We're all trying to support the good guys. And it don't matter which side of the fence you are, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, you think that your side is the good guys because it fits more to what your way of thinking or your belief system or what you'd like to see, you know, the total outcome of this deal. You know, I would like to see fair freedom and justice for all and all that kind of stuff. I would like to see open borders. That's where I could kind of get, agree with the liberal point of view. I'd like to see a world like that.
Well, I'd like to see that too, but unfortunately today it's very different.
Yeah.
And it may have been very different when the pilgrims came here because they massacred millions of Indian people. They brought disease that basically killed millions of Indian people. Okay, so we could look at the beginning. Okay, so all things, are all things meant to be? Is this the divine plan where we are constantly being challenged, basically, and a challenge to either choose the light or the dark? I believe that's true. I believe this is a big school. I believe that we keep returning to try to get this, and I believe that we are constantly being manipulated from the very beginning to this very day.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to believe in a human person, guess what? On some level, they are manipulating you. I'm sorry to say that, but that's human nature when it comes to greed,
when
it comes to control, when it comes to controlling the masses, when it comes to greed, and that's what we're being led by, which is evil.
One other thing along with that being manipulated is being desensitized as well, and it could be a simple being desensitized, like, you know, some of the language that we use nowadays, it's like, you know, people will drop the F-bomb like it's going out of style. It's like this thing has power, and it will make
you sound cool.
Look,
we've talked about the biblical flood. We've talked about the Nephilim. We've talked about the Nephilim coming down, which were the fallen angels, which actually are the ETs and the giants, the Nephilim, the giants. This is a thread. This is another tentacle here that we've been looking at, and Patty and I will talk more about that hopefully tomorrow on our show, Turtle and Crow show. We're still going to continue with this information because it's pretty huge, and it's become, the light is shining more and more and more on this dark stuff. And, you know, so who is the cabal? Oh, we're told who the cabal is. We're told who the elite are, haven't we been, right?
Yeah.
We are told this. But now I'm realizing that there's on both sides. You have Trump's deep state and, let's say, the Bushes, the Cheneys, the Obamas, the Clintons' deep state, and the other deep state.
Have you ever noticed that, especially Hillary Clinton, when she's accused of a serious crime, she cackles like a witch? Have you seen that?
Oh yeah,
So what about it?
We came, we saw, and they died.
Yeah, and she said, what difference does it make? You know, that's That's not something you want to hear out of your leader. What difference does it make at this point in the game?
Well, that's the evil of it. We know that. But what I'm saying is, what I've come to conclude is two things here. This is a possibility. Now listen to this. I'm throwing this out, and I'm just started on the verge of investigating this. Now pay attention. I've just started on the verge of investigating this. There are signs that are telling me that Q and that minion there, those are intelligence agencies, those are intelligence people of the CIA, FBI factions that are supposedly the good guys, that they are in fact just another deep state, or that they are working with the original deep state to make this us move forward. Believe in them, trust them. Those are the bad guys, we're the good guys.
Maybe they're the deeper deep state.
No, I think that, well, I think they're, I'm coming to the conclusion that they're all playing the same game for their own benefit. Now you have Sheldon Adelson, okay, who is a Zionist, basically, who is right behind Trump. That's questionable. You have Soros, who is behind Hillary Clinton. Okay, we know who Soros is. So you have these two factions. Both of these men are Zionists, okay? you know the elder Zionists' agenda, the protocols. I've read that over and over and over, and guess what? The protocols of the Zionists, the elder Zionists, lining up.
I said that's wild. If anybody ever reads that, it'll blow your doors off.
It will blow your doors off, but guess what? It's unfolding perfectly.
Yep.
Unfolding perfectly. It is not good. Not good. It's part of this deeper agenda to move us into 2030, Agenda 2030, complete control, loss of our rights, our freedoms, our sovereignties, our lands, and so on, and that's Agenda 2130. And guess where we're headed? Martial law.
Yeah, well, they got to bust down the nations. They got to break them up. And that's, if you think about what's going on right now, I wrote something quite a long time ago. I'll have to dig it out and try to reread it to people. But it had to do with the chaos started at the southern border and on the border of Canada as well, and basically spreading all over the world as far as what border crisis is and what would come about out of that. It's almost prophetic now that I think about what I actually wrote. And, you know, it just blows my mind because it's just playing out just like I said. You know, if you start throwing people in the mix, two different cultures with each other, two different cultures clash. And history showed that. You explained earlier about what happened to, you know, the Native Americans before, you know, there was ever any of this being talked about. You know, these two different cultures came together, and suddenly your culture was called heathens, or what was the other
one? Savages.
Savages, yeah. And so, basically, under the guise of we got to bring civilization to these savages, they did terrible things to these people, you know?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. In the name of God, by the way, they did it.
It was a mess.
I have to say, they came with the Bible under their arm.
Yep.
They walked on, they came to this land, Turtle Island, and all over indigenous lands in the South Americas with the Bible. You have to know that. They came with that good book, and they said in God's name, okay, manifest destiny, God gives us the right to conquer savages, to kill savages, because they are not Christians. This is what we're looking at, and this is what we've been looking at throughout history in relation to that Bible. I mean, really. Now, there's another question about the Bible. Okay, so who wrote that Bible? How far back does this go? See, this is another rabbit hole Patty and I have been discussing. Because we look at everything, we question everything. We have to question everything. I'm not saying that there are all bad people, I'm saying that there are good and bad, but we have to know that a lot of times the bad and the evil overrules and takes over and pushes down and eliminates that good.
And there's a lot of infiltration going on.
Well, that's true. So here's the question. Are we being manipulated by a cabal or something so dark, okay, that basically is telling us, oh, this is all good, follow this way, follow this prophecy, okay, are they wrote the prophecy. Who wrote the prophecies? Who wrote the biblical prophecies? We have to ask this question. Are they the manipulators? Are they the evil? Is that the dark? I'm looking at this just as we have to ask these questions, because ultimately it's like our connection, our personal connection to our Creator is what we need to return to, not some book.
Also, who wrote the history as well, you know? Bible.
Well, we know that. We know who wrote the history.
The whole thing. What I'm saying is the whole construct of the reality that we've been raised to believe in, and the stories, the history books and all that kind of stuff. We're at the stage right now where how can you trust any information from any, you know, written text out there?
Yeah, I mean, I was given this prophecy a few years ago after I returned from the Kogi in the Sierra Nevada de Santa Marta and spent a couple of weeks with them. The Kogi are the people who have maintained their law of origins for over 500 years. They disappeared when the Spanish came, so they were not corrupt. They kept the old ways, the original instructions, basically, like we were all given, but they kept them. And some of the Hopi did as well, but they are being slowly infiltrated in with the Western knowledge and intrusions. So, but the Kogi kept their kept their knowledge, their wisdom, and their connection to Creator and the Sacred Mother, okay, all this time. And basically, so we have been given a Bible. Okay, the Kogi weren't given a Bible. Okay, the Hopi weren't given a Bible. And there are some of the indigenous people here on Turtle Island that never took that Bible. Okay, and the ones that didn't take the Bible were called, you know, heathens and savages, and some of them were murdered, and their own people went against them because the Bible said those people are devil worshippers, but they're their own people, but they're following the tradition of the original instructions by Creator, Great Spirit. Well, guess what? You have to eliminate those people, just like you had to eliminate the sacred feminine, the clan mother system, because the clan mother system was the original instructions from Creator. And that was all over the world in varying times and various centuries and various times and millennia. The sacred feminine, the sacred masculine, an alignment with each other. The matriarchal societies. Okay, so they had to eliminate that because that does not follow the rule of the Bible. Okay, because in the Bible, if you look at what they talk about the women, you look about the church today, same type of thing. So you have to start thinking for yourself, who's behind this church? Who's behind this book? What's going on here? Ultimately, to me, it comes right back to the original instructions. It's you and your Creator, period. That's it. Yeah. Nobody should stand between you. You should not allow anyone to stand between you and your Creator. That's not how it was written. You know, even the Bible didn't say, oh, let somebody in a dress, a man in a dress, tell you how to pray.
Well,
and build monster churches with lots of money and gold and harbor the gold and so on and so forth in your basements and, you know, like the Vatican.
Yeah, well,
that's not written in the Bible.
What Jesus said to me was essentially that any time two or more come together in my name, there shall I be also. So I didn't need that big old mega church and the floor show and all that kind of stuff.
I have to say that, you know, I had some astounding, profound experiences when I was taken to face some very dark, evil stuff. And I mean evil. Evil. When I was taken there, I had visions that came to me that saved me. Okay? I saw in the Sundance tree, Yeshua, Jesus, and Mary. In the Sundance tree. Other people saw this too. But I was basically, so now I'd never prayed to, when I was a kid I prayed to Jesus, because that's the Catholic Church. You pray to Jesus, you pray to God, you pray to Mary, and all the saints. But guess what? I still conclude that no one, I don't care who it is between me and my Creator. I have to say that, because that's who we were created by. I wasn't created by Jesus. I wasn't created by Mary. I wasn't created, the earth here wasn't created by, this is the source that I'm talking about. The source is the One, capital O-N-E, the One. You can call it God, you can call it Creator, you can call it Yah, whatever you want to call it, Great Spirit, Tunkashya, Wankan Tanka, does not matter. That is our Creator. Now, things that are written in the Bible, okay, it's up to us to discern the truth of these things, because some of those things that are written in the Bible, I think, are corrupted. Now, we have Q, using the Bible, okay, these Bible passages, and people are lining up because that's, they want to believe, you see, because there is a problem. The problem was created by the evil, the problem, the people are reacting out of fear, and now comes the solution, Q, and this one, and that one, and all this stuff is the solution. Trump, the solution. Q, the solution. The Dems, the solution. Whatever it is, I'm saying, we must become, again, that sacred child and speak to our Creator, period. That's how I feel. I have to go that way because, now I'm not saying that what happened to me with Jesus appearing in the Sundance tree didn't happen. I know it happened because other people saw it as well. And I know that when Mary appeared to me and said that they are coming, we are coming, and there were minions and hundreds and millions of angels, the light behind her, and she said, we are coming, we are coming. And we are bringing light and joy and peace. You know, I told that vision that I was given under these circumstances where I was facing this evil. I almost didn't make it. Okay, but I was put there for a reason to see the level of evil that we are dealing with. And I was saved, but I nearly didn't make it. It was not an easy journey for me. It was a powerful spiritual journey that Creator sent me to experience. And I know that for sure.
Well, I told you about the same, what I, you know, I even said that whether it would be a vision or a dream or whatever, the same, pretty much the same story that you just mentioned that happened to you. I told you about my journey like that.
Yes, but I'm not doubting that Mary didn't show up, and that wasn't the first time Mary showed up, and this was just recently within the past 4 years, and I'm not saying that Jesus didn't come into that tree, but what I am saying is that my Creator, the one who created me, is the one that I speak to, the one I pray to, the one that I trust. Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I understand. Unfortunately, this Bible and all these things that are being spoken about by Q and other people are being led on that lower level. They're forgetting God. They're forgetting Great Spirit. They're forgetting Creator, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I thank God for everything. And, you know, look, my version, your version, or whatever, I'm not disagreeing with anybody, because the reality is I don't know the truth. All I know is
what I do know for sure is there is a Creator, a Great Spirit, because I've had experiences, I've had miracles.
Well,
so that is one thing I know for sure.
I'm positive of that as well. I mean, that's something that, you know, it just won't go away. It's embedded, almost like what you mentioned about the original instructions. I believe that we're all, We have them written down inside of us. That's what my belief
is. We do. But people are so dumbed down and believing in a bunch of humans that are telling them, no, we have the answer. No, I'm sorry. It's God or Creator, Great Spirit, that has the answer for me. And that's in my communication. I must find the truth and the answer through that source. Not some man, not some president, not somebody. It does not matter. They're on a different frequency level. They're here subjected or vulnerable to intrusions by evil, by greed. So now you have Q, Trump, all this minions over there on that side saying they're going to lead us to the brave new world. Oops, never mind. It's not leading us to. That could have happened, but now, no, that was a mistake. I'm sorry. That is one of the biggest signs that I ever saw with this whole thing that really, really validated my suspicions of this whole thing. That was the answer for me. I don't care how many times Cereal Brain says, no, that's not what Q meant. No, sorry. Or censored me because I'm saying something true and I'm questioning. I'm sorry. If this is not true, why did you censor me? Why did you shut me up? And then why did you tell that person who also questioned, as an example, by the way, he allowed that. As an example, say, no, you're wrong. This is what Q really meant. And that person said, well, I am still going to do my research because I really love, it was sort of like, let me, don't censor me. Don't ban me from your site.
My thought on that is that if you're actually out there trying to seek the truth and point the truth out to everybody, you don't censor any question. You put them all on the table and allow people to...
Oh, yeah, but see, this is what you have to look at. Q. Now, Serial Brain decodes Q's... posts. Now, that means Serial Brain and Q are connected. They are all one and the same. You see, we have to look at that. Q knows what's going on, Serial Brain knows what's going on, and they're in this together.
Yep.
So I want to go here to Bitcoin and biblical prophecy. Four reasons the cryptocurrency could be considered the mark of the beast. This is very short, but I'm going to read it. Because this came to me the other day, and here you brought it up this morning on that video, right?
Yep.
That's how spirit works, my friend. Okay. So I'm going to read this. Okay, I got your message. All right. Some Bible prophecy advocates think Bitcoin, an online medium of exchange, could consequently become the mark of the beast mentioned in the New Testament's book of Revelation. Even if the online currency Bitcoin doesn't last, the theory behind it could lay the groundwork for a larger international digital currency, according to the Christian Science Monitor. Here are four reasons the Bitcoin could be considered the mark of the beast. Tribulation years. The mark of the beast is thought to be among characteristics of the tribulation years. At the end of time, when the world will undergo a radical and massive shift to a one-world government and economy. Now, this is where we are headed for. Now, you could say, oh, no, Trump is taking down the deep state that's going to put us in a one-world government and economy. No, Trump is doing, this is what the Q would say, and this is what the Q people who follow would say. This is what they're hoping for. This is what they're being told. No, Trump is taking this all down. Well, guess what? I'm questioning that. So Bitcoin is outside the current system, which puts it in a position to fulfill the prophecy by becoming or morphing into the one world currency, the beast, also known as the Antichrist, and later Satan directly, will use to gain economic control worldwide. Now, I feel... I've said this before because I've, through my investigations, I've realized the level of evil in our world and those being controlled by this evil, basically, to do deeds that are just shocking and stunning and blow your mind and say, okay, who's behind this? Oh, yeah, it's the cabal, it's the elite, it's the Masons, it's the Luciferians, it's all these people, but guess what? Who's behind them? Yeah, so that's where I come to conclude. It is basically... Lucifer, Satan, whatever you want to call it. It's that evil. It's that level of evil. And the Kogi said they called this energy the sorcerers, the dark sorcerers, okay? They very well know what's going on. And these people have been isolated for over 500 years, and they came forward to show themselves because they knew what was going on. So number two, invisible tattoo or chip. Bitcoin could lead to a future in which store purchases are made using an invisible tattoo or a chip embedded into the buyer's hand. Now, recently, I wish I had kept this post, Patty posted it up, I think, Venezuela is using these cards, these identity cards now from made in China. So that's going to be across the board. That's got a chip in it, okay? This is where we're headed. So this is consistent with the end times prophecy outlined in the book of Revelations as envisioning a system that would require both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. That is the name of the beast or the number of its name. Three, moving into spheres of real people. Bitcoin is gaining respectability and moving into the spheres of real people, as evidenced by the opening of the first Bitcoin coin ATM in October in Vancouver. Number four, used for evil. Bitcoin is already being used for evil, as evidenced by what happened in 2013 when the FBI shut down the Bitcoin using black market website Silk Road and arrested its administrators. In March of 2015, there were filing charges against two FBI agents accused of laundering bitcoins while building the government in cases against Silk Road. Both of these cases were detailed in the Daily Beast. And I popped that into the chat, but I will do it again because in case you missed it, here we go. Okay. Now, I do want to say that, yes, Lisa says Trump is setting up his own one-world government, and I do believe that, and I'll tell you why. I do see Trump doing good things. That's a given. I've done enough research, Patty and I, to prove that.
Well, the Revelations thing that you spoke about earlier talks about a man who would come on the scene and bring about peace, and once everybody thought that's what they got, it'd be quite the contrary. Of course, that's paraphrasing, that's not exactly the wording, but that's essentially the definition,
yes,
description,
well,
of what would be the Antichrist.
This is what Q is pushing, and Serial Brain 2 is pushing, and Praying Medic is pushing, and some others that are aligned with Q/Trump. My question is, yes, I feel that Trump is doing good things. We've done enough research to show that, but I also know that Trump is the type of man that wants to be king. Trump will not allow anyone to say no. Trump basically wants America in a position where everyone needs what America has to sell. Trump does not want to rely on any other countries. Trump wants to be top-notch in everything. Therefore, usurp all the resources here, regardless of the damage that it's doing. This is what I'm seeing. So Trump has a goal, okay, he's doing some good things, okay, but also there's something hidden back here, I feel, between, that's Q. My question is, and I told you I'm going to be still researching this, I'm on the fence about this, does Trump know fully what Q and their minions are really doing behind the scenes? Now, I don't think that Trump is privy to everything that Q is putting out.
Well, I don't think any president is. I think whenever they get up there that they have a expectation of what they can do as a president, and then they find out when they get taken off in the back room and told, you know, this is how things really work around here kind of thing.
Well, what I'm saying is that I know that these people, Q and so on, and that faction have brought in Trump long before we knew it, and that, remember earlier I said that everything has been predetermined in our lives? That means every president has been predetermined, so that means elections are really foolhardy.
Yeah.
So even Trump was predetermined. And this is another rabbit hole that maybe Patty and I will talk about, and has to do with this information about how do things become predetermined? What happens? Now, you have to look at the Philadelphia and the Montauk experiments. Okay, these are real government experiments that were done in the 40s and the 50s.
Okay, but before we go into that, let me address...
I'm not going to go into it. I'm just throwing that out.
Well, I want to address a couple comments in the chat room, kind of a conversation that started. Buzz asked a question to me, and then he said, Shaziz, what do you think of this? To build a better world, we need a firm foundation, and every foundation starts with a cornerstone. So I had an idea of the cornerstone of Life Project, real basic human rights worldwide, and Earth gets counted as a person so that big business can be charged with crimes against the planet. Stephen responded down there. He said that would be in line with the Gaia movement. They wish to do the same, but use it to pervert any progress of our use of natural resources for the advancement of humanity, and also lawful side of our society is a big part of the problem we face, so would have to be removed and replaced and the total abolishment of corporations. Now see, pretty much what Buzz asked in there about, I agree that what we actually need to do, but we have to do this together as a conscious choice, not as you know, some sort of, I don't know how to explain this.
You have to think critically and you have to think logically about even what Gaia is offering or all these other solution people who come up with solutions, you see. You cannot completely give over your trust, unfortunately, to persons who are saying, I've got the solution.
That's basically what I was trying to say, Barbara, is that right there. Because each one of these, you know, like I was mentioning about the words like communism, socialism, and all of that, you know, they all sound, even patriotism, they sound good at their core, but it's the ultimate agenda behind each and every one of these deals. You're either going to, you know, basically be won over by one side or the other, but in the process of that, we need to, because of the past history of everything, you know, even infiltration in any kind of political or religious, whatever, that we proceed with caution as we go into the future to try to work together to do things. See, I'm saying as a one-on-one, you and I can do a lot of good things together. All right, I'm not trying to change you over to my side of the way of thinking, vice versa, but we take our good ideas, the best of what we got, and we put them out there on the table to try to benefit the world as a whole. And that's the kind of mindset that I'm trying to say that people need out there. You know, I come from a Christian background. Now, does that mean that my teachings were right? Not necessarily. However, some of the things that I subscribe to, the reasons why I even call myself a Christian, are because I believe in doing unto others as they'd have me do unto them, and so on down the line. You know, I believe in honoring my mother and my father and being good to people. I believe in helping the poor and the sick and all that. You know, all those are good things. But when that particular system is perverted, and now I'm hearing people say things like, you know, my God says I got to go out and kill, or I got to go out and because somebody don't agree or they're not on the right side of belief. If somebody is lost or misguided out there and you really truly believe, the only way that you should be able to teach them is to lead your life, live your life by example. And if that example is the correct one, they'll know it in their heart. And
it's the seed planters. See, that's what I talk about. We are seed planters. We cannot lead or control or push or promise or do anything to people. They must. This is where we have to keep coming back to. No one has the solution for you.
That's it.
They may have good ideas, yes, but you still have to be in relationship to your Creator and follow that source, follow that guidance, and that's your internal connectedness and your faith and your trust. What I'm saying. There will be people, we have solutions too, but we always say, look, we're just giving you this information. You don't find out for yourself. How does this feel to you? Okay? But when you have people stepping up to the plate and saying, oh, well, we have the solution and follow us. Okay, I'm sorry. Listen to the solutions. Discern with your own truth meter what this is, right? And be alert and be aware.
Yep.
You know, and I'm not saying there aren't good people out there with solutions, okay?
We're all
I'm
on
just...
this journey together, though. That's the whole thing. We're all on this journey, and we're all in the same boat. So if we're poking holes in this side of the boat, when the boat sinks, we all sink with it. But nonetheless, while we're on this journey, or this you almost look at life like it's a school, like a classroom. Like we're
well, it is
here.
A school in my estimation.
But when we get to the other side, we're going to find the truth together. We're going to find it together. We'll know whether we're right or wrong when we get to the other side of this journey. But in the meantime, we're watching the battlefield unfold right before our very eyes, and we're watching our brothers and sisters fall left and right.
They say, pick your own battles.
Yeah.
You know? You have to be very careful and aware. Even the people who say, I have a solution, follow us.
I agree. But
don't follow them. Stand still and listen and pay attention and discern and figure it out. Ask your Creator, is this a pathway I need to go down? Don't just blindly follow somebody because it all sounds good.
But don't leave your brothers and sisters on the battlefield is what I'm saying. Offer them a hand. If they don't want to take your hand, you can't force them to take your hand. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, we offer the hand to people by the way we walk.
Yeah, that's it.
Right our there. Energy, our frequency, our words, our behaviors, our acts are basically what helps people to determine. Okay, it's their own determination. It's their own, you know, their own truth meter they must follow, even if you're standing there and the light is shining around you.
Yep.
I'm just saying. So here we are back to, I don't care who it is. I don't care who's saying they've got the solution. They've got the plan, whether it's Q, whether it's the Dems, the Republicans, Gaia. It doesn't matter to me.
Well, you know, whenever I'm telling everybody that we have the solutions, I'm using that key word right there, we. We have the solutions. We've got the vast sum of all man's knowledge at our fingertips right now. We're standing in an amazing time where you could do all this research and we can bring all this information together and sit down and have a respectful conversation with one another and try to sort through this mess that's out there. We're being bombarded every day by information telling us that everything's terrible and there's no hope and you got to rely on your government to solve it for you. It's not going to be the government, people. It will never, ever, ever be the government who resolves this problem. It will be the people of the world who finally say enough is enough and start doing the right thing when it's time to do the right thing. Not going out there in violence and killing one another and, you know, you're a
well,
bad
look,
guy.
Well, look, we have this issue. We have this issue. Jesus told us, as if I'm paraphrasing here, but I'm not sure, turn the other cheek.
Yep.
Now we have, why? So you're saying, okay, so someone says it's wrong to go out and murder people in cold blood, but if someone is threatening my family, then it's important to stop them by any means necessary. So now here we are in this conundrum. Because what are we looking at here? We're looking at the final piece. We're looking at the ultimate, the end. We're looking at the time we are no longer in the physical. How do we behave here on this earth? I'm just saying. We have to look at that.
They want to force your hand to be violent. That's how these protests work.
They do.
Your hand.
The dark wants you to be forced to do evil. That's what we're looking at. And now, this is a conundrum.
That's how the senators and the congressmen end up getting corrupted. You mentioned something earlier about, you know, people having choices about their decision-making and all that, but they will use tactics such as you get to Congress, they'll put a honeypot out there. If you accept the honeypot or you get doing something compromised, you might be married and they put a pretty woman in front of you. They get videotape on you and now via blackmail, they will get what would have otherwise been a, you know, almost good person, not good because they cheated on their wife, but almost good person to do something even worse than what they just did, if there is anything.
Well, look, we have to use common sense and critical thinking, and we cannot forget the source. We cannot forget what we're here for. We cannot forget that this is a big school, that we are tested by evil, and this is part of the training, this is part of our agreement, and we have to really include these pieces. We can't just say, well, I'm going to go. I had an experience where we were going to build a community in another area a couple years ago. We were talking about the earth changes. We were talking about what do we do if people come on the land and we have made all these, built all these resources and we have food storage and things and everything has gone to hell. What are we going to do if this person said to me, if people come up our driveway and that are going to steal from us or whatever, she said, we have to fight back. We need guns. So here's my response to that. Because I carry a Chinampa, a sacred pipe, okay, my agreement is to do no harm. To not be involved with violence, with murder, with negative words, with hateful words, because that goes through that Chinampa, the power of that Chinampa. If you know this Chinampa, you know it is a power, an unknown power, that connects you to source, to create a great spirit. It's that complete connectedness and channel. So when you carry the sacred pipe, you must walk in a sacred manner. So what comes out of your mouth goes through that Chinampa in a powerful way and affects all. Repercussion. What you act, how you behave, what you think goes through that chanumpa. The power of that sacred pipe goes through that chanumpa and has a repercussion, either positively or negatively. So I said to her, I cannot be around guns. And if people are walking up here starving up this roadway and they need help, I will load that chinumba and we will pray together. And that's how I will help these people. Whatever happens beyond that, I will have done something good in the light. I will have followed what I feel is true.
Yep.
Love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay, we love all people. We're brothers and sisters. People are terrified. People are in fear. People will do things for their own survival. Okay, so, but I have to stand in that way. I will not be around violence. I will not perpetrate violence. I cannot do that because that is a repercussion and then goes out throughout the whole of the sacred web. So, if you believe that there is a creator, a God, great spirit, if you believe that, you have to think twice about your behavior and what's going to happen when you're no longer in this physical body, because we all have to come to meet what we call the grandmothers and the grandfathers. The old ones are going to be sitting there and they're going to say, oh, daughter, granddaughter, grandson, we gave you a job to do. How did you do? In other words, how did you live your life? Did you walk in a sacred manner or were you part of the problem? Were you spewing out hatred? Were you spewing out negatives? Were you a judging person? Were you judgmental against others? Were you jealous? Were you greedy? We're all given that test. Did you violate someone? Okay, because you're going to have to meet that when you are gone out of this physical school, out of this physical body. Okay, this is what I'm talking about. But people have forgotten that piece, haven't they, now? Because they're just reactive now, aren't they? They're just reactive. They're screaming. They're hateful. They're spewing out violence. They're spewing out. They're acting violent. They're spewing out divisiveness against their own fellow brothers and sisters. They're being led. Who's leading that? Something very dark and evil. You have to say it. Are you going to follow that energy? Then that's what you will have to speak about when you meet the grandmothers and the grandfathers or the angels, whomever. Jesus, I'm just saying. This is wake up, people, because this is what's happening. People are being led by the nose ring. By the nose ring or whatever, by their fear, right? They created the problem. They watch our reaction and they give us the solution. That's throughout history. Here we are today. We're being led by people, okay, by something darker that is manipulating people and working to manipulate us. Are you going to follow that something? Are you going to step out of that sacred space, out of that center, out of your relationship with Creator and spew out hatred against someone?
Let me read something related. Hacksaw Ridge trailer. It's a Andrew Garfield won't fire a gun, but will put on a really thick Southern accent. Anyway, basically, it's a war movie. I'll just read it straight from the deal. It says war movies are common sight at World War II is an especially popular choice of subject matter. But Hacksaw Ridge is one of the few you'll ever see where a soldier emerges as the hero without firing a single bullet. Essentially, there was a movie out there quite some time back where this guy had personal religious beliefs that he refused to use a firearm. But in the process of this movie, he rushes into danger and he saves a whole bunch of soldiers and all that kind of stuff. Now, when you think about what that story is talking about, there's a guy that went through overwhelming odds on a battlefield to try
yeah.
to maintain his spiritual journey, you know, and he walked the life, you know.
Yeah, well, there's a story about, I don't know who this, maybe you even talked about this, is this a story where this soldier refused to use a gun. He was forced to go to war, he refused to use the gun, but he was saved through every battle. People were dying around him, but he did not lift up a gun.
Yeah, and he kept dragging people off the battlefield.
That's right.
You know? And that's, folks, that sounds like maybe something, not everybody seems like they would be, you know, up for that, but that takes some really strong faith. And, you know.
That takes faith, and that takes an understanding of knowing where you are eventually going to wind up, where your conscious spirit is going to wind up meeting your maker.
Yeah, that's the point of me bringing that up there, because, you know, it's not an easy task. Believe me, you know, the book talks about how
Look, Christians... you cannot claim to be a spiritual good person and let hatred spew out of your mouth.
Yeah.
You just cannot. either you're a spiritual loving person speaking good words or not, or you're not, or you're just spewing out other stuff because you're being led by somebody, because you don't like this person, because you don't care for that person, because politicians are saying this or the mainstream media is telling you that. You have to think for yourself these days.
That's where being desensitized comes into play, because it desensitizes the individual from, you know, basically planting a seed in your mind, questioning your own spiritual
beliefs. Well, I'm telling you, this has been going on from the beginning of time. Well, the books have planted seeds. The politicians have planted seeds. The preachers have planted seeds. All these organized religions have planted seeds. Now, are you gonna water those seeds and make them grow and become that type of person, or are you gonna listen to Great Spirit Creator Wankantanka and the teachings of Yeshua, or the White Buffalo Calf Woman, or the Peacemaker, or Kanku Khan, or the Viracocha, or Buddha? I'm just saying.
There was a story where Jesus washed the feet of a prostitute, and some around him, that was like, you know, unheard of, uncalled for. But the words that ended up coming out of that message was, "What you do unto the least of me, you do unto me." And so, if you think about your Creator, that if you're going out there hurting your brothers and sisters, you're hurting your Creator.
You may think, "Well, I don't like that person. I don't like what they're doing," but guess what? If you believe in Matakuyeo Yasin, we are all related, those are your brothers.
Yep.
That is your brother. That is your sister. And this is where people are mixed up and getting stuck. And I've got to head out. It's the top of the hour for me. I'm hoping that, you know, what I have offered today, you know, I know I ranted a bit, but I'm getting to these pieces, and I'm seeing the light shine here into the darkest, deepest places, and I know we are really at a point in time where we better get our act together, and to me the act is our spiritual act, our spiritual connectedness, our trust and faith. That foundation, when you have that foundation, no matter what is around you, chaos, people, persons, actions, behaviors, whatever it is, you will be able to move through. And ultimately, we have to think of the final ending. What are we doing here? How did we behave? What did we do? What did we give out to the people, to the earth? You know, because we're going to meet the grandmothers and grandfathers, the ancestors, or if you believe in Yeshua or an angel, you will meet them after you leave this physical body, and they will say to you, you will have a review of your life. And they will ask you, to look at that.
And one of the words that really bothered me the most about something that Jesus said about talking about how people, they were saying, you know, "Didn't we not do your bidding? Did we not do all these good deeds and everything?" But they didn't. They missed the whole point of all the thing. They were doing it for their own glory. And he said that, "Depart from me, because I never knew you." Those are words I'd never want to hear, you know? From my own personal spiritual journey, to think that my Creator or my messenger or whatever.
Yeah.
You see what I'm trying to say here?
You have to think of, I have had near-death experiences. I have been in the light. I've talked about that. But I've read people who have been in the light were diagnosed, you know, they were dead, right? And they went into the light, then they were brought back to life. And people, the majority, the greater percentage of people express that they had a life review, or they met a light or Jesus or whatever, and they had a review of their life. And I'll tell you something, it's rapid, it's quick, it's like a blink of an eye, but it shows you everything that you did. It shows you the words you spoke. It shows you the people that you may have hurt. It shows you the wrongs that you may have done, either willingly or unwillingly. It shows everything about your life here in this physical realm, because you are spirit.
Yep.
You are spirit soul, and you see that review, and you experience everything. If you harmed someone, you experience that in your physical self.
Yep.
If you have given words out that are hateful or derogatory or whatever it is, you experience this pain that the persons went through from your words, from your actions, from your behavior.
You ever notice that every time somebody is not, they haven't died, but they have just about on the verge of death, that they always say that their entire life flashed before their eyes. And then keep in mind, they're still alive. They haven't died, but they're basically right there. every single person that I've ever heard.
Well, I have to say one more thing, and then I do have to go. I know we are in difficult times. I know that some of us feel righteous because we are being pushed to feel righteous. I know that we are being pushed to hate others. I know that we are being pushed to be divisive and fearful. I know, but guess what? That's all the plan. If you want to play the game that the evil and the dark and the cabal and whomever are setting out playing for you, then that's where you go. I know we are in difficult times right now, but this is a spiritual battle. And if we must not play that game, your words, your hatred, your divisiveness, your negativity, your judgments are all the dark. It has nothing to do with Great Spirit Creator. It does not. If you believe in a Creator, a Great Spirit, Wankantanka, Tukashla, I say, that's who I pray to. Wankantanka Creator, something grander, something more omniscient, something sacred, something so beautiful that created you as a sacred child. Act like a sacred child.
Yep.
All right? Treat this Mother Earth like she is as a sacred living being. Okay? It is in our hands where we are headed. Who are you following? Are you following the mainstream media that tells you that Trump is this and Trump is that, or Pelosi's this or Pelosi's that, or the Democrats? Are you following that? Are you allowing those words to spew out of your mouth? Then you are not following the words of Great Spirit Creator. I'm sorry, you're not. You are being manipulated, and that's predetermined. And this is a frequency and an energy that we must be very careful of right in this moment in time. You really? Yeah. So I just want to say, I just thank everybody for listening and participating. I love you all. I'm sorry I have to leave sooner, but I'm heading out for ceremony over this today and tonight, and I'll be back tomorrow, hopefully, whether permitting, for the Turtle and Crow show. And thank you, Shaziz. You know, I love you, and it's a beautiful gift and an opportunity to be here with you and everyone.
Well, love you too, and have a wonderful ceremony.
Thank you, Doc Sean.
Stay down here and hold down the fort. Knights of the Round Table. Maybe somebody else will jump in here. Maybe Patty will show up or something. But wonderful again. Thank you very much, Barbara.
Doc Sean.
So, folks, we started off the show talking about reality as a dream. The reality that have been put down before us by, you know, basically our upbringing and, our education and society in general and governments and corporations. They're always trying to tell people how they have to live. They're always trying to tell people what they got to look like. They're always trying to tell people how to run their life and all this kind of stuff. You know, it's one thing to set an example and to live your life with love and goodness in your heart and to do good things for everybody just out of the, kindness of your soul or whatever. But it's a complete and utter opposite thing to be able to, try to control somebody, to control what their thoughts and lifestyles like. I'm going to try to add two dog in here if I can. Let me see if I can do this. Okay, hold on. Do start a call with two dog. Alright, there we go. So basically, most of what you see going on out here is that people are basically trying to control. They're trying to control you. They don't want you to be able to. See, I believe that every single person on this earth is born to be free. I believe that that's what we want most of all, is to be free, to experience and live life and love and, take care of one another, to make our own choices and just enjoy the experience. But the moment we get here, it seems like from the day we're born all the way till the day we get to the point where we finally say, hey, something just don't smell right here, we're being indoctrinated. We're being lied to. We're being played like a banjo. We got border crises in, America and Canada and Europe and all over the world. Who's behind all that? Who is behind the scenes manipulating, or what? What kind of evil forces, darkness that are coming down on us, also said that there's a real lack of trust out there. We don't trust the mainstream media. In some cases, we don't even trust the alternative media. In most cases, we don't even trust one another. So somebody's put a divide and conquer out there to literally erase the whole trust factor. How can you have faith in your significant other if you can't even trust your significant other to be faithful and truthful to you? If you can't trust your government to be faithful and truthful to you, how can you trust them? And once that trust is broken, whether it be through the media or the government or your significant other, it's a hard thing to earn trust back. And stress kills dreams. You know, while you're constantly under all this stress out there, people finally get to the point where they're feeling so hopeless that they want to jump off the side of a bridge, or they want to bring harm to themselves, or they want to get out of this world and stuff. And those are the folks that we need to seek out and try to pull off the end of that bridge to try to show them some light and some peace and some hope and some love. You know, everyone out here is lost as far as I'm concerned, including myself. I'm lost. I'm at a loss for words sometimes because I can't understand why here in the year 2018 we're still having to deal with the same exact things that have been going on for hundreds of years, if not thousands of years. Wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence. We got solutions available to us. We've got ways that we can heal one another. We've got ways that we can feed and house and clothe one another. We got such a massive abundance of resources available to us. And it would be in a perfect world that we could take all these resources and use them, you know, wisely and work in perfect harmony with nature to allow everybody to live in, you know, quite literally the lap of luxury. I honestly believe that it is possible to bring about a heaven on earth if we so choose to do so, but it has to be we. It can't be me. It can't be a leader. It can't be you by yourself. But if you shine your light, you move us a little bit closer to being out of the darkness. If there's one candle in the darkest abyss out there, that one candle will overcome the darkness where it stands. There's no darkness that can overcome that light. And you have to be that light. And if your neighbor and your friend, they shine their light as well, well, that darkness gets smaller and smaller every time one of those lights come on. And so, what to do about this whole deal? And what is the truth? Well, what to do is do what you know is right when you know it's right to do it. And the truth is, what you find in your heart, if it doesn't feel right, if it doesn't sound right, if there's something that doesn't smell right, if it seems wrong to you, you've got the original instructions in your soul. You know the difference between right and wrong. You know you're not supposed to steal from your family. You know you're not supposed to hurt one another. But if you choose to do so, then you feed the darkness. If you choose to live your life in negativity and thinking that the world is so terrible, all these things that are going on are so terrible, and there are terrible things going on. There's terrible things going on in my own family, you know, and it breaks my heart because I want to see everyone happy. I want to see everyone well cared for. And I see, you know, some of my children making the wrong choices in life. And I know that, you know, God willing, they'll be okay when they get to the other side. But I know that they'll be going down some rough roads because of the choices that they're choosing. This is what we all have to contend with. But we all can't sit there and use our power of the spoken word to feed the negativity, to feed the darkness. Because if you've ever noticed, I told this story one time where I was sitting at a table with a bunch of family members. And I came down there to be with my family because they were all, you know, because I was all depressed. I was in a bad state of mind. And I had to get there and I had to go, you know, to be with them to get the comfort of my family and their love to be around me to, you know, try to bring me out of the dump. As I sat there and I listened to them talk, I kept hearing them talk about how this person was dying of cancer, this person lost their job, this person, you know, had to top the last person's negative story, and it just kept on and on around the table. The world was so terrible, and then suddenly my cousins come in there, my cousin and his wife come in there, and they were yelling at the top of their lungs. They were angry about something. And it just overwhelmed me. And finally, I couldn't stand it. I said, you know, I'm getting the heck up out of here. I said, I came down here because I was all depressed and I needed my family. I needed to be beside you and help. So your love and your compassion and your company could help bring me out of this abyss. But after listening to all of you, my life isn't so bad. I'm going back home. And I realized at that point in time that, you know, as bad as you think that your life is, there's somebody out there having it a whole heck of a lot worse. You know, we're blessed with the ability to be able to come here together at Shaziz Radio and People for People Radio and Wolf Spirit Radio and all the other affiliated networks and the wonderful people that show up in the chat. We are blessed to have one another, to have these times where we can sort through all the things that are going on and try to make some sense of our reality. You know, reality is a dream. But when you decide, you can make your dream the reality. You can make it a good world. You can make peace, hope, and love the standard out there. You know, don't feed the darkness. If the government's doing you wrong, don't feed it. You know, we keep feeding the same beast that's eating us alive. And we watch our brothers and sisters fall on the battlefield on a regular basis. And that's all I can do to keep from crying, because my heart breaks to see what's going on. My heart breaks to see so much misery and people being sick and in pain and suffering when it's not necessary. This wonderful earth that we've been gifted, this wonderful earth has medicine, this wonderful earth has food, this wonderful earth has everything that we need. And you and I, together with our talents and our gifts that we have been given, we make up the pieces of the puzzle that actually make up the big picture, the grand scheme of things, what we could actually accomplish. I feel like that's what we're here to learn. I feel like that once we learn that, each and every one of us together will rise to a higher state of enlightenment. And we will bring about a heaven on earth, because we can. How you doing, Two Dog?
I'm doing fine. How are you, my book?
I'm doing better now that you've showed up.
Well, I'm going to try to ride with you if this connection will last.
So, how's life on your side of the fence there, brother?
Well, brother, I will let you know that we do hold the flag of Israel now, and we had a welcoming ceremony to do with Israel, and we did set with them. And we talked a little bit, and it didn't go so good, but hey, it's a start.
Well, anytime you at least open dialogue, that's a move forward, right?
Yeah, I mean, it went really well until he said that Palestinians don't exist, which kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Well, they believe that they exist, and they seem to be real people. So I'm thinking that, you know, maybe they really do exist, but maybe some people just don't want to recognize the people. You know,
well, that's it.
It's a sad thing that's going on over there, because it's been going on for so long. And I always come back to that same doggone story about the two little girls, two little Palestinian girls talking to the reporter. And the reporter asked these two little girls, and said, do you ever want peace with Israel? And they said, no, we don't want peace with Israel. We hate Israel because they killed our mommy and daddy. Now, keep in mind, even if that story would have been propaganda, look at the actual story in itself. Two little girls saying that, no, we don't want peace because they killed our mommy and daddy. Well, put it on the other side of the fence with two little Israeli girls and ask them that same exact question under the same exact circumstances. Now, it's like the Hatfield and McCoys. When those folks started fighting each other, they didn't even know years later why it was that they were still fighting amongst each other. But they kept the feud going just because it was a family tradition. We don't like
exactly.
The Hatfields.
Let's go like this. In the also, I can add to this, brother, that in the time of the peacemaker, the nations were about to annihilate each other, and they'd been fighting for so long they had no idea what was, you know, what the war was about until the peacemaker actually showed.
Yep.
And so, yeah, it goes on everywhere.
In modern day time, this whole terminology that we call racist, all right, this whole terminology racism, racist, or whatever, you know, pits blacks against whites, pits browns against blacks, and whites against browns, and all that kind of stuff right there. And because of things that occurred in history, these folks are still, you know, inadvertently feuding against each other. Maybe one side is trying to bring about peace. Maybe both sides is trying to bring about peace. Maybe both sides are trying to heal it. But somebody out there keeps on stirring the pot to the extent that it's still a common discussion out there. It's still a common feud that we have to fight amongst each other just because of the differences of our skin color. Now, that's the evil we fight against, Two Dog. It's not people.
I got to admit, okay, they fight about this. They do it quite well. They do it really, really well. Matter of fact, my brother, I'm gonna be frank with you. I have actually had a sheet cover my head. I've had my toe tagged, and I've been in the morgue for just being Indian. Okay, so, yep. But I do understand that situation.
And I feel bad that you ever had to go through that, you know?
But, you know, thank grandfather, I'm still here. That's all I'm gonna say. I actually spoke underneath the sheet, scared the nurse half to death. But I'm still here, and I'm still bringing, you know, people of all colors down in my council fire.
Well, and that's why I love your Tree of Peace, and that's why your picture that you sent me of your Tree of Peace standing there with one of the persons that was a representative of a nation, you know, standing there together, because that symbolizes to me hope, you know. And I'm looking at the picture right now, and you two are shaking hands with each other, and you got both flags on the opposite side. And, you know, a flag to some people is just a piece of cloth. A flag to other people is a symbol. But the symbol that I see with those two flags and that Tree of Peace and these two people holding hands together, I see unity, I see hope, I see some sort of move forward to a positive future. You see what I'm saying? I know.
Well, this guy is Graham Harvey. His name is Graham Harvey. He's a pastor of the Appeal to Heaven. That's what that flag is. It actually has the Tree of Peace in the middle of that.
Yep.
And he is the first church to ever come and ask my nation for approval to open up their church. This has been years ago, which we gave permission for. That never has happened that I can recall. And they are ones that help, that come together with us to plant the Tree of Peace in the name of unity for all people. And that's what that Tree of Peace is for, is unity, understanding of each other, being able to go, hey, we can sit here and have a conversation without arguing with each other about who did what.
Yep.
You wasn't there. You didn't do it.
That's right. I want to see that. I want to see that tree 20 years down the line when it's standing really tall, wide, and proud, brother. I want to see it.
That tree has grown in the past 3 years. This tree, this picture that you're looking at, is we had a get together where they come to sit with us at the Tree of Peace to celebrate it planted, I think three years ago.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. You know, it really is. It's pretty amazing.
But let me say this: we now hold 72 flags, and Israel is one of them.
Yep. Let's see, May put something pretty cool down in the chat room. She says, I see, yep, every room has a door. Mental abuse is manipulation. Many forms open the door and new opportunities appear. That's a solution right in a statement. That's pretty cool. Thanks for
that, May. Let me say it like this, and I'll say it from May too, okay? If you have a person, okay, maybe you don't like what this person is doing. I agree with Three Crow very much. That's still your brother and sister, okay? I may not agree to everything that President Trump is doing or saying, but he's still that. The point of it is, Somebody asked me once if I would sit with him. I said, absolutely. Because number one, you need to, in other words, if somebody comes, you hold your hand out to them. Find out what they're about. Sit down, speak with them.
Yeah.
If we could do something for a brother or sister, why not do it?
Well, and that's why I think that the things that we hear that are problems in the world, we have the means, we have the power, we have the resources to resolve these problems. But yet, as humans, we allow a certain group of individuals to turn what would have been a plus into a negative by sending a war machine out against the people instead of sending help to the people who are needing it. You see what I mean? I mean, imagine we can amass armies, tons and tons of equipment and guns and ammunition and medical supplies and food to feed the soldiers and clothing and even people to, you know, do the cooking and all that kind of stuff. We can send a whole nation out to destroy another nation under the guise of peace. That's not how it's done. Peace never came from the end of a barrel of gun.
Well, let me say it like this, brother, because this is, you know, the thunder stick as far as the gun is concerned, okay? It was flung to this continent. We didn't have one. We'd never even seen, Indian people never even seen one, okay? Now, I had a thought in the chat on people for people, so I'm just going to ask you this thought. And this is just a thought, my brother. Don't take me literal. But my thought was, I've heard people say many, many times that it's a God-given right to hold a gun, right? I'm thinking to myself, where in the Bible did God say he gave us that?
No, as a matter of fact, God said, if you live by the sword, you shall surely die by the sword. So,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But, you know, all things aside, you know, I don't look down on that question, because it isn't a God-given right to hold a gun. It is a God-given right to live free and safe and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, to force your will on somebody else, be a threat or violence or whatever, that's not what God talked about. What he also said when I said that the word was that if you live by the sword, you shall surely die by the sword, was essentially, yeah, you can do it that way, but you got to know it's coming back to you.
And now, what do you think it means? What do you think it means back in the day when the leaders say of the Indian nation where the peace treaty comes from, okay? When they stated that they put their weapons under the Tree of Peace, they put them under it. In other words, the weapons are under the Tree of Peace, and I will not bring them out.
Yeah, that means you actually got to face the Tree of Peace before you make a choice to go to war.
And what do you think my weapon is?
Yep, under the tree. And that's where every weapon should be. You know, unfortunately, yeah. I wish we lived in a world where we didn't have to have weapons. I wish we lived in a world where we didn't have to have borders. But unfortunately, we're not there yet until we can do what it is that you've been doing and bringing people together to sit down at the table. You know, have a meal together, have a discussion, do it respectfully, and understand that each one of you might have a different point of view, but we can work things out. But that's how you got to do it, under the guise of peace, not by pointing a gun at the tip of their nose and saying you'll either comply or not, you know.
But, you know, that picture that you're looking at, brother, between me and Pastor Hardy, all right, it's not just because there's two leaders meeting there, okay? It's not just because there's two leaders meeting there, brother. We have actually become like brothers. In other words, we have actually become overwhelmingly good friends, and we'll be here for each other. It doesn't matter what color you are or who you are. We're the human being here.
Yes, we are. And
so that's what that picture's about. It's not just about two leaders from two different groups, bruh. It's about the human being.
Yep. And that's how problems get solved right there. Exactly how you did it right there. And that's an example. That's what we were talking about earlier about, you know, leading by example. You know, if you're going to talk peace, then you need to walk that way. You need to do, you know, as you're the saying, I guess, is practice as you preach kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, even though you may have, you know, even the peacemaker back in the day, okay, he had his Tata Daho, which was an evil leader back then, okay? But he also changed his heart.
And I think that's possible today. Even
it's
to the
possible
third
day. It's possible with any dictator or anything. You can change their hearts.
You know, there's some sort of almost a universal thing out there. When people see other people in danger, there's been some really hardened criminals that come to the rescue of people, you know? There's been some people that really were pretty selfish people that come to the rescue of other people. It seems like every time there's a major calamity or a tragedy, that people come together. You know, maybe some of them are coming together just to make themselves look better or whatever. But for the most part, my belief is that these people, because I believe everybody has that potential, both light and dark, and you get a choice whether or not which one you want to choose. I believe that most people, for the most part, are good people that, you know, try to get as close to the light as they possibly can with their journey through life. You know, not everybody's successful. Nobody's perfect, as, you know, even the book says. You know, we've all sinned.
Well, I tell you what, I can say from personal. This is my personal thing, okay? This is what they thought of me in my time, okay? You know my heart. You know what it's about since I've been on these shows.
Yep.
Okay?
And you've been consistent all these years. You've never changed from your message. You've been consistent, solid.
Exactly. But let me tell you this. When my wife used to work up here, and she would send me to go get her check, okay? Because, you know, she'd be hurting that morning and can't get up or something of that manner. And so I'd go get it for her. But she works nights. She did. As soon as they saw me walk in, it's like I parted the Red Sea. I scared them to death just by walking in there. But you look how you're treated. It doesn't mean your heart's that way.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, there's also this thing about judging a book by its covers, because...
Yes, until you open the book, you don't
right.
know what's in it.
That's right. You know, there's been some really scary-looking bikers had the biggest heart be sitting there hugging on a puppy, you know?
Well, to tell you the truth, I learned a lot when I was 17, 18 years old, because this biker, he rode a three-wheeler. Man, he actually made a three-wheeler out of the back end of a Volkswagen.
Yeah, I've seen some of those.
Which I thought was cool as they could see. And he looked so mean. He was like 325, the biggest, baddest man I ever saw in my life. But he had the biggest heart. It would give anything to anybody.
Yeah.
Just to help him. So you can't judge a book by what they look like. You got to open the book.
Well, and we started off today's show talking about reality is a dream. And so this whole entire deal that we got going on out here, we got to walk with caution to what we're being told and, you know, the way things are playing out, so that we don't get suckered into something that's totally wrong. You know, the good book said that there'd be many that come in Jesus' name, that they'd be like wolves in sheep's clothing, essentially what they said.
Yeah.
And I'm sure in every tradition there was a similar kind of deal, you know, about wolves in sheep clothing. There might be different ways to phrase it or whatever. I think all cultures had pretty much the same, you know, encoded message on their heart or whatever.
Yeah.
But we got to be cautious. We really honestly got to be cautious. But what we can't do is allow this all this negativity to rule our life, to keep us living in fear that we might go and do things that we wouldn't otherwise even thought of doing. We got to keep ourselves grounded in some sort of spiritual walk, at least, you know, some sort of foundation, so to speak. And so, with all the stuff going on out here, and the way that the system is essentially playing us like a banjo, and with all the border crises that they got in every single nation so far, and the whole plan of order out of chaos, the voter fraud, the lack of trust in government, and radio and TV and corporations, and, you know, like I said, stress kills dreams. And
well, let me say it like this. The vision I had for all these flights to come, it was kind of like a wake. I was awake, but it was a dream, okay?
Yep.
You noticed that dream came through?
Yep.
And it's still coming.
Yeah, it is.
But here's my point. If you believe in that dream that you had, if you totally believe that this is going to happen, and you believe that dream, it don't matter what this world does, you're going to make sure that dream... I have never let go of any vision or dream I've ever had.
That's it. And that's where that reality is a dream is flipped reverse, and you turn your dream into a reality. You have a lot more power than you possibly imagine, and because you held on to that dream, it's still playing out. It's still working. You know?
I mean, look, if you think about it...
That tree's getting taller, too, dog.
A tree's getting taller. Israel was 72. I have heard... That's the 72nd flag we've got. I've heard more coming. In other words, for everything that's going on in the mainstream media, okay? Everything's going on, governmental... they do whatever. I'm not going to stop my vision as long as my heart's beating. In other words, I'm still going to go to every human being I go to, and I'm going to sit down with them, and we're going to talk, and whatever we can do for each other should be what we do. Don't let them get in your way.
Yep, I agree. This, no matter, you know, I had mentioned to my wife one time, because there was a lot of crazy stuff that was going on. And I had mentioned to her, I said, you know, if we're having this much trouble, you know, in these times right now where things, you know, they appear to be bad, but they're not as bad as they could be. Imagine how we would fare if all heck broke loose. Imagine how we would fare if we were quite literally living in the biblical last days according to what was prophesied in Revelations. I said, I don't know that we could hold up if we're this disturbed right now. If things really seriously got bad, could we hold on to our faith through that entire mess? And that's the key here. You know, it doesn't matter which one you believe in, as long as you're on a spiritual journey and you hold on to your faith, and if you hold on to that dream, even if your dream is your faith, if you hold on to it, you will make it happen. You know, this dream that I keep talking about, and I'm going to play it when we get ready to head up out of here, the thing that I wrote, and my friend Ken, because he's got such a wonderful voice, he read it out for me. But listen to the words of that. It's amazing. And that was two people coming together, taking my gift of words and his gift of speech, and putting that two together to put a message out to the world of hope. You know?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at that picture that you were talking about with me and Pastor Graham, okay? Let me say it like this. You got two different spiritualities there. You got Christians and traditional.
Yep.
And we're getting along with this.
We're getting along great. You know, and we'll find out when we get down at the other end of the journey. Maybe we were talking about the same people all along. Maybe the message was the same message from different messengers all over the world. Maybe that's the case.
Well, there was a movie, and this elder, he was a Vietnam vet, Okay. And he actually got cancer and he died in the movie. All right. But he had a letter that he gave this person before he died to give to his brother. Okay. And in the letter, the elder actually said, you know, if the Christians are right, you know, about God and Jesus and everything else and the Bible and everything, me being a traditional, when I died, maybe I got a 50-50 shot. If you see what he's talking about, in other words, the traditional way and the way the Christians were talking is the same thing way. In other words, everything Jesus talked about, Indian people were living that way.
Yep.
So at least he's got a 50-50 shot.
Yep. Well, like I said, you know, I come from a Christian background, but I'm not twisting anybody's arm or trying to convince them that my way is the only way or the right way. All I can tell you is that's the journey that I've been on, and I live my life as best I can to the teachings of Christ, and hopefully, you know, I'm doing the right thing. You know, I know that one day we will all get to the end of this journey. You know, some of us may get there before others, but we will inevitably, because they say you live and you die, you know, you live, learn, and die. Well, we're all going to get there one day, and when we get there, we'll meet up and we'll find out what the ultimate truth was. But in the meantime, I think we have an opportunity here. I think we're standing at a crossroads. I think we have an opportunity to change the way that mankind has faltered throughout the history of time, the terrible atrocities that we had to overcome to even be alive today. You know, all the...
Well, I believe it like this, brother. You know, as far as the traditional way, I feel my way is right. Christian way, you feel your way is right. If it's right for you.
Yep.
Why fight it?
That's it.
In other words, what I do in my life is that every step I take is a constant prayer and a constant one-on-one relationship with my Creator, whatever I may call it. You do the same thing.
Well, I respect your way because your way pretty much says the same thing with maybe just different terminology or different names attached.
Exactly.
They're both made of goodness as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, you know, you got like this, brother. You got your angels, right?
Yep.
In Christianity. We have the spirits of our ancestors.
Well, those to me would be the angels, you know.
Ain't that the same thing?
Yep. Well,
just different terminology.
I think that hopefully we will get past all this. Hopefully that this message will resonate with people out there all over the world. You know, I sit there and I make out a list of things that I want to touch on as far as the conversation, and I talked about reality as a dream as the first opening deal of this, because we don't know the true reality of this world, because it's been so convoluted and twisted and manipulated that we're all in the same boat as far as we're seeking the truth, and that's all we want. We want truth. We want peace, hope, and love. We want to get down to justice where everybody is cared for. You know, there's that terminology, social justice warriors. I think in some sense we're all social justice people. But why do we got to be warriors? Why do we got to...
Here's a warrior, brother. This is the way I was taught. Here's a warrior, okay? A warrior is not to hold a gun and look stoic and fight, okay? A warrior to us is that when an elder needs to go to town, you put them in the car and you take them.
Yeah.
If they have to go to the grocery store, you take them to the grocery store. If they need their wood chopped to stay warm and can't do it themselves, you do it for them. You put a screen door up for an elder that can't do it for himself. That's a warrior. You take care of the people.
Yep. And I like that. See? Now, under that kind of circumstance, I could call myself a social justice warrior.
Yes.
But right now, I just want people to to leave the labels alone. Go away from them labels. Stop calling each other racists and xenophobes and homophobes and all these different phobes. And stop calling each other Republicans and Democrats or liberals or conservatives. Start calling each other brothers and sisters and watch how that works out for you. It's going to be a whole heck of a lot better than all the planned, in my opinion, division that we're seeing come across.
Let me say it like this, brother. If I do anything in the Western Lenape Nation, I'm going to say it like this. If I do anything in the Western Lenape Nation, even if it's myself, we did it.
Yep.
I'm just the spokesman, man. I'm sent out. Okay? I'm sent by the people. So we did it. Everything is we, us, and ours in my nation. That's how this thing is supposed to be.
Well, I like the way you think, and I like the way your nation thinks. I subscribe to that wholeheartedly because I honestly believe in the dream. I honestly believe that if we ever choose to, as a family, a community, a worldwide, humanity or whatever, that if we ever decide to, we could put down our guns if we wanted to. We could take and trade our army tanks in for food trucks and clothing and medicines, and we could actually use our full power, our might, so to speak, to go over there and hand the needy the things that they need. We have technologies to give them fresh water. We have technologies to give them electricity. We have technologies to allow everyone who, when they need heat, they have heat. When they need coolness, they have coolness. They have nutrition, they have love, they have food, they have everything they need. We have that capability. And it frustrates my heart that in the year 2018, we're still hearing about starving babies in the world. We're still hearing about people dying of thirst and sickness. We don't have to live like that. We never had to live like that. We put our trust and our faith in the hands of the governments and the corporations and so-called leaders, and they failed. They're sitting there talking about voter fraud. That side committed fraud. This side committed fraud. Finger pointing back, you both committed fraud. They're fighting over power because the power comes with money. The power comes with respect. The power comes with caviar, champagne, and a lap of luxury on the backs of the people.
That's it.
It's time it stops.
Let me say it like this, brother. I have seen now, in 2018, alright, I've seen children starving to death in Yemen, okay? There's no need for that, because somebody won't quit bombing.
That's right. You know that?
But you're going to sell the weapons over there. What is it, money over people? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, that's pretty it. That's it right there. It's like that movie that Nicolas Cage was in where he was a gun dealer and he was selling to both sides. They didn't care. As long as there was a war, wars were profitable. He was selling it to both sides. Let them fight it out. You know? And then he finally came to a realization at the end of the whole deal what he was doing was a terrible thing. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the problem. Money's over people.
Yep, and that's it. You know, if you feed the darkness will rule. If you feed the light, then the light will be able to, basically be there. If you ever get a chance to, folks, and you're listening in, jump over there to ShazizRadio.com and click on to the Knights podcast page. It's right underneath the link that says Knights of the Round Table. It's a drop-down menu. And click on the Knights podcast page and just scroll down and look at some of these pictures, of the Knights of the Round Table. It says, peace and love to the world, seeking solutions. And it has the Knights Code of Honor. It says, let truth, honor, justice, respect, fairness, wisdom, courage, and the love for one another be our guide. Grant us the wisdom to do is right. And it's got there's so much. You just go check it out. Look through it. One of the pictures that inspires me is that it says, this picture says it all. It has a whole bunch of people standing in a circle and a bunch of pieces of the puzzle laying in the middle, and there's one person standing outside that circle, and it says, you are the missing piece. And then further on down, as you go down, scroll down and look through all the different sayings and things and stuff on there, there's one picture that just makes me happy and it makes me cry at the same exact time. It was a picture of a little baby over there, I'm guessing in Africa, and this little baby's got no clothes on. He's sitting there and this lady's feeding him water, and they call these babies over there that don't have parents witch children, and they're basically just wandering around finding scraps and stuff. Well, this child is so, it doesn't even look like a child. It's so terrible to see. And this lady is giving this baby some water, and then she takes this baby under her arms, and a year later, they got a picture right beside the same picture of what this baby looks like. He's standing there in his little red jumpsuit and his backpack, and he's looking all, you know, healthy, and he's got some meat on his bones, and you know, he guess went through a heck of a struggle just medically, the things that was wrong with him, parasites and stuff like that, and he probably still has some problems, but this lady took it upon herself to be that miracle and help this baby to survive. Now this baby has some hope in life. You know, it's sad that the society allowed the child to get in this state right here. It's sad that the people in this child's own community didn't step forth to do the same thing that this lady did. But that lady was an angel to that child, and now that child is beautiful.
Well, you know, this happens in America as well. It happened to me. You know, if a child can get lost through society, okay, the system. I'm one of the children that got lost through the system. You see what I'm saying? Sleeping in dumpsters and doing everything else.
Yeah, well, you
it's
lived
society.
It, bro.
Society. But if you think miracles don't exist, I'm here.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm saying, and that's one of the reasons why all of us, every single one of us who've ever been on this Knights of the Round Table, and even the people in the chat room, have been down some dark times and some hard roads. And the miracle that we're all still here to try to speak some words of wisdom out here to the good people of the world and try to inspire their hearts to, you know, turn that light on and keep it shining bright even through the hard times.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's all about as far as I'm concerned.
I want to take a child and talk to a child that has went through the same thing I've went through, and let me try to help them out of that dumpster.
Yep, that's it.
I've done crawled out of the morgue. I know what it's like in there.
Well, that's the thing. If you can speak from experience, from what you've witnessed in your life, and you can take that experience, even though it was a bad experience, and turn it into a positive to benefit somebody else, that to me, in my mind, is the miracle that you've been waiting for.
It's called holding no animosity to what anybody does.
Yep.
Because I have a higher creator I got to look to.
Well, folks,
in other words, if I go to the sky world, I want the ancestors to ask me what I've done. I want to try to tell them I did the best I could. I did what I could do.
Yep. Well, folks, it's that time again, and looks like you're the only one left there, so you get the last word there, Two Dog. Got any words of wisdom to share for everybody before we get up out of here?
One thing I could say real quick, my brother, if my Skype will let me, okay?
Yeah, we know how this works.
Yeah, you notice it always gets kind of poor when I show up.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I'm going to say, always trust within your same heart, within your heart. Whatever, you know, is putting you down, know there's a creator that's got his hand upon you. Walk this earth the best you can. Keep your heart with you. And walk one-on-one with the Creator every day. And everything that flies, walks, and crawls is your relation. Try to help take care of it. you got one life. Make it right. Don't worry about what, you know, what leader's doing or what media's doing. I know it's terrible, but keep that spiritual connection and you can't get lost. Shaziz?
Yep. Well, I agree with you, brother. You know, and I think that that we still have hope, and then our hope here, our mission is to try to empower people to not only believe in themselves, but to believe in one another, and we can actually make things happen. You got the power, people. Been saying it forever and a day. You have the power. You have the power of your spoken words. You have the power of your actions. You have the power of just so much. Just the things that you do, the things that you say, and the way that you think. Don't feed that negative. And while there's things going on out there in the world that we have to talk about so that we can all be aware, walk through this world and listen to every bit of information that you got with wisdom. And then make your choice from your own personal spiritual journey and what your heart speaks to you that is the truth. That's the only way we're ever to find the truth. And I'm thinking one of these days, yeah, go ahead.
Real quick, brother, and I'll let you have it. Inside every man, inside every woman, okay, even inside every child, there's two wolves, one bad wolf, one good, inside every man. And it's the one you feed the most that's going to win within yourself.
Brother, y'all couldn't have said it any better. I think we'll leave it right there at that. Folks, you've heard some words of wisdom coming from the love of our hearts. If you like this message, share that message with everybody. Share this podcast. Take it out there on your social media networks and let somebody hear something maybe they hadn't heard before or maybe they need to hear. And if you're out there, smile on somebody. Give somebody a hug. Tell them you love them. Make this world a better place, one positive pebble at a time. So with that said, peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I'm going to play us out of here with the dream. If you're...
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
Woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. if there's ever going to be any progress.
And there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would
feel... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more, we're able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Always looking to fill the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.